This week, both Nintendo and Steam announced service changes to accommodate the changing environment that games and we gamers find ourselves in. Both companies doing something that few others of their size have. They're not the only ones in the news this week. This and more starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 689 of our show for this June the 4th of 2017, moving into our official month of the 15-year anniversary of this program. My name is Rob Roberts, here with you every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwell Show at the Voice of Geeks Network, VOGnetwork.com. And by my side, as she has been for the last 15 years, I've watched her grown up from a grown up to a growner up. It's Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers.
You're such a dork. Oh my God.
I didn't know how else to phrase that. But if you think about it, like 15 years, that's a very long time.
Some of y'all have grown up in that time.
I know. Not always, but once in a while we'll get those emails from somebody that's like, I listened to you when
I was 12.
I listened to you in the eighth grade. And first I'm thinking, first off, you shouldn't be listening to this show in the eighth grade. And then, now I'm married and have children. And I'm like, that makes me feel, like a
guess
young buck.
Guess what? I'm married and still don't have children. And guess what? I'm not going to.
Hey, and guess what? I'm finally married because I'm able to. So there you go. Yay. So how about that?
By the way, all of our listeners, happy Pride Month.
Yes, happy Pride Month. Also say hello over there to Techmaster Loki.
It's not always what's cracked up to be, too, the whole marriage thing.
Yeah,
or the kids too. Yeah.
Alan and I don't really plan to introduce kids into the equation. Besides pets, we'll be parents to
fur babies are the best babies.
Exactly, but I don't know. From my perspective, married life really hasn't been that different from what it was before. But Alan and I were together for 7 years. But actually, that's one thing everybody in here has in common. Everybody was with their partner for a very long time before getting married in here. Because you were with Dan
together for 7 years
for a long.
Mm-hmm. Went to the courthouse.
Yep.
Which
is what Alan and I did. But, you and Nelly were dating when OLR first started, right, Loki?
Yeah, like, so right like around 5 years.
Yeah. So, but that's still a long time, Most people I know kind of jump into it a year
or
2 years. I
know, like my sister, who then got divorced a year later. So
I believe in a long QA period.
Everybody's got to do what works for them. I'm not one to judge what other people want to do. So, some people get married after 6 months and then they're still together. So, whatever works for you.
I am. And also, thanks for the reminder about the whole Pride Month thing. I was well aware of it yesterday. Went to Sacramento.
Did you go downtown?
We didn't go downtown. We were far away from the whole Pride thing. We went to go for my wife's birthday. But for some reason, Pride's, leaking out everywhere. So there was a guy who I assumed was dressed up like Captain Underpants. He had a cape and underwear and was yelling at a train. So it was either a homeless man or it was the real life Captain Underpants.
There was also Sacramento Pride was yesterday. I didn't go. I went like 2 years ago.
At work.
Yeah. I didn't want to go by myself. Alan had to work. And B, I'm going to be real. It's kind of just like food trucks and vendors you see at every other fair and
I
stuff.
Like food I was like, trucks. if this is what homosexuality is bringing to the table, by God, let's spread it everywhere.
Thank you, Loki, for your true allyship. We support you. Anyway, going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Bobby is pointing out that he's getting married next March and no kids. That's right. Jennifer and I have only been together 3 years. That's still quite a while. So
yeah, don't rush into the kids.
Still a reasonable QA period.
Yes, it is a good incubation character, and it's also important. I approve of Jennifer, which is also a very important part of this whole equation. Right? That I should be able to approve whoever Bobby's going to marry. Right? But I definitely approve of Jennifer. I think she's great. So anyway, Let's get off the marriage topic and let's talk a little bit about, because it is a video game show, I want to talk about video games. Our pal YYR is going to join us tonight. He was going to be here in studio, wasn't able to make it here live, plans changed, so we're going to have him still to just check in and see what's going on with his stuff. We're going to check in with him a little later in the show, probably towards the beginning of Part B. If you don't know YYR, I mean, he emails the show pretty frequently and calls in here and there too. But very important to note, he has also fully realized a couple of Orange Lounge Radio dream games. So, and I'm not sure, can you still buy this on 360, or did they finally shut that down? The XNA games. Did they finally close that down? Well, I don't know if it's still there, and I'll have to ask him. But Bungie Ferret Tossing on the Xbox 360 was an idea that started here on the show.
Unfortunately, not one of the backwards compatible games that, you know, they keep, you know, putting forth. It'd be nice to see some backwards compatibility support for Bungie Ferret Tossing.
It would be nice. I'll have to ask Microsoft about that or something. But yeah, so there's there's that, and then on the PlayStation Vita, for a very short time before they shut that down, you were able to get a game called Pixel Poops, which he had to rename from Pixel Shits, was what. And yes, these things actually happened on our show where we were throwing around ideas out there, and this happened.
And YYR is correcting us. You can still buy those on the Xbox indie games
until September.
Yep,
but not. I know the Vita one's long because that was only, like he said, when he
that was
put it out.
Mobile. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, he was right. Like, you only have like 6 weeks to buy it, and then it's gone. So okay, so the window is closing. So YYR's in chat if you want to say hi to him early, but we'll be talking to him a little later in the program. Meanwhile, we're on the eve, essentially. Our next show will
the
be...
The Eve 3,
that's right. We're spot in the middle of the E3 celebration next week because Bethesda's press conference is happening literally during the show next week. We're going to have to do that whole thing where we kind of stop, do the press conference, then start again. And we'll do that next week. But, you know, this week, or this E3, things are happening very early. You know, we have EA is going on Saturday this year. We're going all the way back to Saturday, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, EA is Saturday. And then Microsoft is Sunday morning. That's a lot earlier than we're used to E3 week. So that's going on as well. So we'll kind of all know, you know, some of the big E3 stuff by the next episode. Granted, we'll still have to wait for Nintendo's presentation and Sony's presentation, and oh, I'm sure the PC Gaming Expo will have plenty to get excited about. So
I'm not
as
fooled
well.
Into watching that. Fool me three times. And
but anyway, I thought this would be a good time to talk about either our E3 predictions or our E3 what you'd like to see. And I'm opening this up to our chatters as well. Of course, again, live.vognetwork.com because we always tape live on Sunday nights. What is it that you'd like to see at E3, or what is your prediction? Let us know which you're kind of talking about here. So this is a thing I'm sure a lot of your podcast pals are going to be talking about this week, is what are the big old predictions? So Loki, I'm sure you've got things to say.
I mean, I'm going to be as vague as possible.
Is this a prediction, or is this what you want to see?
I would like to see.
Yeah. Okay.
I would just like to be excited by something or surprised by something. You know, because that's really the big thing, is like getting the big shock, like, oh my god, I wasn't expecting that. That's amazing. I would like that kind of moment in something, please. That would be.
Are we talking about like Sony 2 years ago?
I'm talking about like anything. I mean, just where, like
Final Fantasy VII Remake, Shenmue 3, Last Guardian, like
just like some really exciting stuff. I mean, I don't know what it really would be at this point. Like I was even going back today at some of the stuff. Like, for example, Kotaku does this thing where they kind of, before E3 each year, say, okay, what did they show last year? What of those promises that they made, what did they actually follow through with? And it's like most of the stuff that they showed at Sony's thing, it's like, this shit was shown like last year, the year before last, and it's not out yet.
Sony has a history of very long trajectories with the things they announce. They're announcing things that are way out. I mean, they finally delivered on Last Guardian. And you know.
Well, Last Guardian, and also, what was the last one that came out? I can't remember the name now. Horizon Zero Dawn. Mm. I mean, that was pretty good. And it makes me excited about the other stuff that they have. It's just, I don't really know what to expect. Like, even like Microsoft right now, like, fuck, I don't know what the hell they have in the pipeline. I mean, I
Crackdown.
Know
Crackdown.
Well, Crackdown, yeah, I'm expecting that. But, like, aside from that, and maybe probably another Forza game, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're Halo something. I mean, I really don't know what they have coming, which I guess is a good thing because I'm not really expecting anything. So,
yeah, I think Microsoft has the potential to do what you want and give you the unexpected this year, because we really, I mean, they are such a wild card. Like, we don't know what fucking direction they're going as Scorpio. Scorpio could, I mean, I say Scorpio could be anything. Yes, we have some ideas what Scorpio is, but I mean, it's really wide open for Microsoft right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, like, Nintendo, I have no expectations for Nintendo, and I'm sure they're going to meet those just fine. So, I don't know. I mean, and then the other few publishers out there, honestly, I would like a new Ridge Racer. Let's just announce a new Ridge Racer. That's my hopeful thing I'd like to see. Because honestly, yeah, I know they did some really shit releases of Ridge Racer and that kind of franchise. But, but come on, you could bring it back and just like do a really kick-ass racing game again. And I don't understand why they can't do that. They're not incapable of doing that. So that's what I'd like to see. Because we've had several console launches with no Ridge Racer, and that's a crime.
Okay. Dark Soccer, I'm going to go to you. Predictions or what you'd like to see?
My prediction is that all of the companies except for Nintendo are not going to release anything original, except for Nintendo, who always tries to release something original every couple of, you know, I'd say at least a couple of things a year. But it's all going to be more of the same shit because
okay,
it makes money.
Hold up, because as much as I want to be yay Nintendo as well, I have to call this out because Nintendo's got a very good chance they're going to do Wii U rehashes. That's not totally original.
We got ARMS coming, but we already knew about that.
Well, that's those Wii Sports boxings. I mean, you know.
I'll talk about ARMS later, but anyway.
But at any rate, it seems the only one really releasing much in the way of original games has been Nintendo. You know, we have a couple of new IPs, but they're really more of the same genre. What I'd like to see is something completely different. I'd like to see a lot more indie developers get their items released on the big consoles and actually have the support that was promised instead of just lip service. That's really it.
Okay. For me, let's do predictions. So I'm going to start. I'll start with Nintendo there a little bit. So Nintendo, I do expect that more Wii U ports are inevitable. I was seeing some of the stuff on other sites, and one of them had like a list of 8 games.
Didn't they have like another Pikmin game coming? Like
they do. They've all but confirmed a Pikmin 4 is in the works.
Like, it's like, I get it that you like Pikmin, but dude, I mean, honestly, like on the scale of all the franchises Nintendo has, Pikmin is like
for
way
you,
down there
for you.
For me, yes. Well, what about Metroid? Come on. You can't say Metroid is a less popular franchise than Pikmin.
So, okay. So here's the thing with the Wii U ports. Yes, they're going to happen, but there's going to be a limited number. And there's a lot of what-if factors. I think the one that's guaranteed, for me, the biggest, like, if I were betting money on this whole thing, the one I would say this will happen is Smash Brothers. That's the one that I think is going to happen before any of the, assuredly, compared to any of the others. I might end up being wrong, but I think that's
Mario
the
Maker.
One. Mario Maker is probably number 2 on that list of what would most likely come over from the Wii U. I would say Bayonetta 2, and that's part wishful thinking, but also if there is a Bayonetta 3 in the pipeline, as there's been a lot of smoke and fire towards that could actually be a thing, and I think we got even a story later on in the show that kind of addresses that, so I'll save that for then. But if Bayonetta 3, if there is any truth to that, and that is a big reveal for somebody, then I think Bayonetta 2 makes a lot of sense to try again on the Switch. So those are kind of like my top 3 for what games. But I saw a site somewhere that was like Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze could be... No, that's not going to be one.
Please no.
That's... No, not that one. I mean, it's not a bad game, but it's just kind of, you know, we're moving on past that. But although, speaking of retro, I think... My heart says it's going to be a new Metroid game, but I feel like I'm leading myself into disaster with that whole thing. It could be an original IP.
As long as it's not another Other M. Which Other M honestly looked
good. Yeah, but
good.
Team Ninja got involved with that. No. That was a little different. So I don't think it's going to be Other M. I think it would be Metroid Prime, again, if anything else, going to be in that type of vein. if it's either that or it's a completely original IP, because Nintendo has had success with the original IP thing right now between Splatoon. I'm sure ARMS is going to do very well for them. You know, Nintendo is kind of, yes, you can say, LOL, they do Mario and Zelda all the time, but they are starting to put their feelers out more towards doing new shit. So maybe Retro is going to be able to do something like that. Then the other thing that I'm kind of like, on the fence on is Virtual Console. And some other things that have happened this past week that we'll get into later have made me think maybe Virtual Console is not so guaranteed right now. But I feel like this is it. This is the year. One of two things is going to happen. Mother 3 is either going to finally happen, or that second Densetsu collection is getting translated, including Part 3.
It better.
And maybe that's part of my heart right there too, but I really think I feel good that this might be the year that one of those like super in demand, you know, games of the Super Nintendo. Well, I know Mother 3 was a Super Nintendo, but you know, kind of same graphic style, comes out finally. So those are kind of where I'm at with Nintendo, but otherwise I expect the large part of the focus to be on Super Mario Odyssey because that's what they want to sell systems through the holiday. But there will be one other big double A, triple A title this holiday, but it could be the Smash remaster, could be the other thing. But I just don't see, there's not going to be more than two because Nintendo wants to drag that out for, they're not going to do 8 fucking Wii U remasters in a year. That's not happening. They're going to drag it out to fill up 2018 and on and on and on and so forth. So that would be my thought. Oh, and we do know Rabbids Cross Mario, that's happening. So that's something we know is happening.
Yeah.
But that's also a third-party game. So this also can show that, yes, Switch does have third-party support. And,
as long as
you know,
has Mario in it.
They'll have a little more with that. Let's talk about Sony for a little bit. So the interesting thing about Sony is that, yeah, with Sony having announced all this other stuff that they haven't really released yet, I do kind of expect a lot of updates from Sony on projects that we've heard about but haven't really seen what's coming.
I expect we'll see more Death Stranding. We'll see another trailer for that. We'll see another update from The Last of Us 2, I'm guessing. We'll see
God of War. Very important. That other thing,
zombie game. I don't remember what it was now.
That other game that they showed it twice during the conference. Remember that? They showed it once early on. And then they showed it at the end, and we were all kind of thinking, this is where Red Dead Redemption 2 was supposed to be. So I think that is going to show up instead.
Yeah, I guess Red Dead Redemption will be in one of them, I'm sure. They'll show a trailer for it. It's still not coming out for a long time, but
it's not, but you know, they want to get the hype with the graphics and everything. So that's definitely showing up at Sony or Microsoft. For sure.
Whoever gets that DLC exclusive or whatever bullshit that they'll try to fucking pull that.
I think there's a very good chance the Mystery Marvel project is going to have some more information come out at E3. The one that Square Enix is working on. I think there's definitely the potential for that. I think if it's true that the Final Fantasy VII remaster has been delayed, I think you won't see it. I think the Final Fantasy VII remaster is going to take the year off if that is still...
I'm kind of fine with that.
Yeah, me too. I think you could get a major Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer. They may have the balls to go Kingdom Hearts 3 and then winter 2019. They might. I don't know. That's a stretch.
We'll talk about this again soon, or we'll have an announcement later.
That's a big stretch. SSU100 Matt says, I hope we find out what the game is in Death Stranding. I think there's a very good chance it will be a gameplay thing. We'll see. Let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says, what if this Marvel game from Square Enix is some sort of JRPG style game, except it's not being developed in Japan, it's being developed here. It's one of the it's Crystal Dynamics is doing it, right? If I remember, who did Tomb Raider, they're doing it, right? So
Black Widow's very, very bad day.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Black Widow's very, very bad day.
You know, she has a bad day, everyone else is gonna have a bad day.
So yeah, that'll we'll see what happens with that. Then there's Microsoft, and I really don't know what direction to go with Microsoft. They're such a wild card. And obviously Scorpio and why I need one is very important. Of course, there's going to be some game announcements, and I do expect that Crackdown is finally going to be out this holiday. If it's not, I don't know what else they've got now.
I can't wait for that. I hope it comes out. I hope it's good. I mean, I'm glad that they're taking the time to polish that up. I'm still curious. Remember when that system first came out? It was all about, oh, cloud processing, cloud this. You know, this is going to make this possible. And so I'm curious to see if that's still the case with all this crap.
Well, I wouldn't put it past Microsoft, though. See, Microsoft on this stage has the ability to talk about more than just the Project Scorpio and the Xbox One. They can talk a little bit about Windows 10. We know they're really trying to shift things around with this Mixer thing. You know, Beam is now changed into Mixer, and they're going to broadcast their event on Mixer to try to get more eyes over there. Although I thought I heard it's going to be on Twitch as well. Anyway,
I think it's on YouTube also.
Yeah, so I kind of think Microsoft also kind of knows they need to be everywhere. But I think the 4K, if you want that, is over on.
Let's be honest. I mean, forcing someone to use your platform to watch your event is not going to really sell you on that platform. You kind of, I don't know.
Microsoft, I don't know. Anyway, but I'm just not sure what games they're going to come out with, which could be a really good thing. You know, that's, like I said before, if any company has the potential to kind of surprise us with, we're going to pull this one out of the vault, or we got the gang back together, maybe this is the Battletoads year. After all this fucking time, maybe this is the year of Battletoads.
That would be surprising. I'd be down with that.
That would be a pleasant surprise, I think, for a lot of people. So, sure, why not? I'm going to say Battletoads, finally, this year, because we just don't know what fuck all else Microsoft is going to pull out.
Are they going to do another Gears of War thing or something?
Ooh, I know what they could do. I know what stunt they could pull. You ready? Minecraft 2.
Well.
I know everybody's sighing. But you sigh, but it's an inevitability. There will be a Minecraft 2.
Yes, there will be at some point.
So, why not?
I'm just saying, wait and see.
just the silence is deafening with that whole thing.
I just, like, it's going to be so hard for them to do that. I mean, I don't know.
I know, but you know they got to keep that going somehow. I mean, Minecraft doesn't really need a lot of help, and they still have the Switch and all that stuff. But I think if they kind of drop hints or, you know, maybe a first little peek at what Minecraft 2 might be, I think there's a serious chance. You know, it's someday there will be a Minecraft 2. Microsoft did not buy that franchise to do nothing with it.
Oh, they're making tons of money off of it.
Of course, they're still making money. But how much did they spend, Loki? $2 billion? Was that how much they spent on it? Okay, they're going to do more than just this Minecraft game that they're already porting everywhere. There's going to be another Minecraft game.
That's why they're all $30. I mean, $2 million back.
There is that, too. YYR points out it would be tough for a Minecraft 2 to succeed. After all, it has Minecraft 1 as competition. Tiger Claw says if Minecraft 2 happens, it'll be an Xbox One and Windows 10 exclusive.
No, it won't.
At first,
I think
it'll be a timed exclusive.
That might kill it right there, though, because people, I mean,
not the Windows 10.
You're gonna you're gonna have to like show why this is so amazing. You are competing against your first game, so why? Do you really, and like, what's going to really set this apart? And that's going to be a hard thing to sell. I mean, sure, they're going to try it, but I don't know. I think it's too soon.
All right. Well, believe it or not, in 7 days, we're going to have some of these answers. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. E3 kicks off on Saturday with EA's press event.
What do we think Bethesda's going to do?
Again, a lot of updates. I think Fallout side story, like a Fallout Vegas 2 or something, is what it's going to be. It's not going to be Elder Scrolls. So it's got to be that.
Fallout 4 VR.
No.
Or is that too early?
No, it's not that it's too early. I just kind of feel like Fallout 4 is kind of,
or better
lived
yet,
its life.
Here's what I want to actually kind of go back to Sony real quick. Here's what I'd like to see more of. PlayStation VR stuff.
Sure, me too. Now I'm seeing, I was at randomly at Target the other day, and there was a ton of PlayStation VRs available. So I was like, okay, well, now they're available to buy again. So I just need to be convinced why I need one, and then maybe I'll pick one up.
I'm not convinced, and I don't think I will be.
Well, yeah, but you have
a good idea if you're not really into it. I mean, I even mind that I don't use it a whole ton.
And you have the whole motion thing to consider, too, that,
well,
you know,
on top
is
of that,
an issue.
I've never liked VR anyway, so.
Well, maybe it just you're missing that thing that makes you want it. It's like any peripheral. For the Wii would have never sold what it sold if it wasn't for Wii Sports. It takes that game.
Like, do like roller coasters and stuff make you sick, or is it just like first person games?
I'm okay on a roller coaster in the front seat.
So I think these would be fine, because especially with the VR being such a high refresh rate, you're not going to have...
Also glasses.
The glasses can fit in it just fine.
Oh, yeah. They have to consider that.
It works
that.
With the glasses.
Yeah, fine. It works with glasses.
So, I mean, I think with it being such a high refresh rate and being that it's synced to your movement and everything, it might be not as bad as you think. Or it depends on the game, really, because some people, they can develop games that... won't make you feel very sick at all. Some, they just suck at it, and you probably get queasy.
Well, how did you do with the Virtual Boy? Because the technology's come 20 years since the Virtual Boy, so something to consider.
The Virtual Boy made me nauseous and gave me migraines. I mean, seriously, full-on ice pick headaches.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that, though? Like, the Virtual Boy 20 years ago, I mean, look at what that looks like now, in that 20-year leap. Can you imagine what's going to make, what kind of technology out there is going to make what we have now look as shitty as that? I mean, can you imagine that? Like, that
holodeck. It's coming.
That is just ridiculous to think about.
That's the year this show ends, is when the holodeck finally comes out. It's like, well, we made it. There's nothing else to say. We always say gaming's getting one step closer to the holodeck. Holodeck's out. I guess that's it. We're done.
Well, that's been a good run.
It's been a good run.
We're playing really whatever we want to play. I mean,
could you imagine the video cast you could do in a holodeck, though?
Oh, sure.
It doesn't matter. No one would be watching it because they'd be in their holodecks. I mean,
everybody would be in their sexodeck. YYR is asking, a few people in here have PSVR, right? Did you guys try Polybius?
I haven't.
I don't have PSVR, sadly, so.
I don't need to be mind controlled for the government.
I think this has come a long way from the legend.
It looked kind of shitty, so I, you know, no thanks.
All right, so there you go. Some predictions. We'll find out what's really happening in a week's time. Well, at least half of it. We'll finally have the Microsoft questions answered, and we'll get the Bethesda questions answered in the show, but we'll still have to wait a little longer for Sony,
Bobby,
and Nintendo.
You are confused. The Virtual Boy was VR. It was very red.
That's true. That's true. Virtual Boy didn't move with you or any of that stuff. It was, and it actually like sat on a platform. So it was like you just kind of, and I think that's part of what contributed to all the headaches too. Is
didn't
that you had
commercials have it walking on those legs?
Probably.
Sorry, my mouth is full of almonds.
It's been years. I don't remember the commercials that very well.
Look for the commercial right now.
All right, you do that. All right. Anyhow, let's talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Obviously, not the Virtual Boy. So we'll start with Dark Sakura. How was your gaming week?
Actually, I did touch our Virtual Boy. I moved the case that it's in. I'm sorry, I still have almonds in my mouth. I played well. I played my usual stuff on my phone. I'm not really playing a lot of stuff right now, but my schedule, thankfully, yes, is changing again. And so I'm hoping that now that I have her story, I want to sit and play it. Thank you to Raginator for the gift, even though I went and bought the bundle right after. My goal is that by the end of the month, I will have finished Danganronpa 2. I just need to sit down and do it. And maybe if I stream it, y'all will watch. Who knows? You'll watch me fail.
Sometimes you just have to kind of put it out there and see who shows up.
I have to put it out.
You know what I mean.
Whatever.
All right.
That's really it.
Moving on to Loki.
I played a little bit of Overwatch, very little, and still against AI because I'm still learning characters. So I started playing a little bit of Roadhog, which I'm having a good time with. I'm still trying to figure out, though, which character is going to be the best fit for me, and not quite there yet. That's why I know a lot of people are like, don't worry about not playing, you know, against AI or whatever, just playing against with real people. It's like, if you're not playing competitive, no one gives a shit anyways. They all suck. I mean, I still don't want to, like, be a detriment to my team because I don't know, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing in there. I mean, I can shoot people in the face, and that's about it. So I've been trying to find, you know, characters that are good at that. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. Medium difficulty was still pretty good against the AI. So I don't know. I'm just kind of messing around with it right now. And then I played a little bit more of the Totally Epic Battle Simulator, and that's just kind of a fun time waste when you just don't really want to do anything. I did notice, though, they just updated to 1.0, which means it's finally released and not in early access anymore, although I think it should really still be in early access because their pathfinding AI is just shit. Like, I had an army of, like, thousands of people, and there was a bridge, and they just jumped into the water and killed themselves, all like lemmings. Same with the other team, too. Like, none of them figured out that there was a bridge there. It's just, we're just going to dive into the water and die. I'm like, this is not exciting at all. Not epic one bit. And then aside from that, I've been playing, of course, still more of the stupid Office Space Idle Clicker game, because they do keep mixing it up. I mean, literally updates almost every week, and they're giving different type of gameplay in there, and they're making it now. They have these, well, supposed to be this daily stuff that you do that unlock more of the in-game currency. Yeah, it's really easy shit. The problem is their timer right now is broken, so it resets every 24 hours. The timer, that is, not any of the event, so it just keeps going and going and going. But once that's fixed, though, it is, you know, pretty nice, because, you know, there's really, they're making it super easy to get all the in-game currency without having to spend real money for it, which I'm not going to do that anyways, but with that and all the freebies and the different events that they have going on, it's a very nice time sink, and it, there's a little bit of strategy to playing it as well, so it's a little bit better than some of the other clicker games. I don't know. I'm just having fun with it, so whatever. And then Pokemon Go, just because, you know, dailies.
I hit level 31 this cool. week. Yay. All right, that it?
That's it.
All right, my game of the week. Pokemon Go. A lot of the same stuff I've been playing, Final Fantasy 14. And I was leveling my white mage to level 60. That way I could have all my healers at maximum level, because I have white mage scholar and astrologian all at level 60, because the expansion is less than 2 weeks away for the early access. So that's exciting. So just kind of getting prepared for that, because I do love me some Final Fantasy 14. So if you all think I stream that a lot now, wait till Stormblood launches, because it's going to be taking over for a little while there, at least until I get through the main story in Stormblood, because I probably won't end up doing any of the like endgame raiding or any of that stuff. I don't usually get into that. So once I kind of burn through the story, I'll be able to go back to all the other games I enjoy as well, including Overwatch. I was playing a little bit of that as well. Let's talk about, Mario Kart 8. I'm still playing, and I plan to play that tonight after OLR as well, because I've been promising a multiplayer stream of that for a while, so we're going to play that tonight. But I do want to talk about on the Switch, I also finally got around to playing ARMS. Because I wasn't able to do the demo last week because I just wasn't around or whatever. But I was able to sit down during one of the times this week, and I did finally play ARMS. And I've got to admit, I didn't care for it. I did not care for it. And for me, what it boiled down to is just kind of like how it controlled. Like, it just felt like I was playing like a fighting game underwater. Like, it was just like the sluggishness of the, and I feared this was kind of going to be what it was based off the trailers, but like the sluggishness of the way the hands kind of move through the air and all this stuff. And I just, I don't know. I there were things I liked about it. I liked how the lobby rooms were set up. How you would kind of see like you're in a room with seven other people, and all these people are going to play against each other, and then the people that lost are going to play against each other, and then there's going to be a team event that happens here. Like I kind of liked how that was being executed, but it just didn't really care for the game itself. Like it just wasn't that interesting to me. Like it's just you know, if I was a little kid, I probably would have loved it. And honestly, this game stands to do very well with younger people, because I think it's kind of a fighting game that's not violent, you know, at all, that kids can really get into. And I think the pace of the game will lend itself very well for younger folks. The game probably will do all right. It's just not for me. And that's okay. Not every game is for me.
The most interesting parts about the Switch and how Nintendo's handling it, you look at the demographics that are buying the Switch, the vast majority are adults, not kids, buying the Switch.
Well, Loki, kids don't exactly have $400
to drop. I understand, but they're not the ones that own the Switch. Yes, I get it. You know, they're not dropping $400 for the Switch, but they're not the ones that the Switch is being bought for. I mean, the primary user of the Switch is an adult. Yet, all the content on it seems like it's catering towards kids. It's like, I think you seriously need to cater towards the people that are buying the console. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not a bad thing to have content for kids on there, but if your content is you know, focus at this demographic that's just not really picking up the system, that's kind of a problem.
Okay, so Chad is yelling that my mic went out while I was talking about arms, so I'm going to, for the sake of the podcasters who would have heard a very awkward skip there, because I'm going to cut the silence out, let me try to restate what I was saying a little bit about arms. So I liked the lobby system and all that, but I did not care for just how sluggish the game felt for me, and I think it's going to be very good for kids, like if they're, you know, like 7 years old or whatever, and I think it's going to be a great fighting game for kids, but I just don't think it was a great fighting game for me. Like, for me, it was just, I don't know, like, I didn't really care for the way it controlled, and I didn't like the concept. I don't know how else to put it. Like, some things just don't work, and that's it didn't work for me. Like, you know, the whole, like, oh, I'm gonna punch and then kind of wave my arm in the air to go where it needs to go, and it was just weird. So I just didn't like, I don't know why Nintendo wants it to be an eSport thing so bad. I just, you know, unless it's for like a junior division or something, I just don't see a lot of professional players really picking this game up. So, I don't know. Yeah, ActDeft in chat says, I thought the controls were fine, but they are kind of awkward. YYR in chat says, don't forget, we're all kids. In a way, but it's different. I would just rather play Street Fighter 4.
Like, here, I've got the actual, this is statistics straight from Nintendo. Usage by household, U.S., okay? So this is usage. 2%, 12 and under. Mm. 5%, 13 to 15. 7%, 16 to 18. Everything else is an adult beyond that. And that's, I mean, I get it that they're, but there's Nintendo products, and I know that people like that, but I think that the problem is they're not targeting that demographic, and I think that is why the Wii U kind of faltered a bit, because a lot of that market wasn't being met. Like, it wasn't, like, for me, I mean, originally it was like, there's not really anything driving me to that system. There's not a game that I really, 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 really want to play on it, because they're focusing on a demographic that's not even really touching the system. I mean, that's a good way to try to bring in more of that demographic, but it doesn't seem to be working.
Hmm. Interesting. So anyway, that was my time with ARMS. So I'm happy Nintendo put it out there, so I didn't have to drop the money on the game to figure out that I didn't like it. But I'll just wait on Splatoon 2. I know I'm going to dig that, so I'll pick up Splatoon 2 when it's out. But I'm going to pass on ARMS. Maybe if Nintendo puts it on sale later on, haha. But maybe in the holidays, if it drops down to $20, maybe. I don't know. It depends. We'll see how into it my friends are and what kind of lasting power it has in that regard. But yeah, just not feeling it personally.
It's not gonna have the lasting power of, like, say, a 1-2 Switch, but I'm sure it'll do okay.
I feel like I got an email this week that was practically like, pretty please buy 1-2 Switch type of thing. I'm like, no.
I'm not going to do that. I'm
no,
sorry.
I'm not. I was
not just, that bored.
It was a misfire. Tiger Claw in chat says, do you think ARMS can be an eSports sensation? No.
It's too fucking slow.
Maybe with a junior division, with kids. I think it would be a great thing for kids. But that's about as far as I see it going.
Why? I would rather them play Smash Brothers. I mean, why? Kids are already playing Smash Brothers and playing it competitively. Why do we need to fucking put out, like, fucking hand-holding bullshit the game, you know, fighting game, like, fighting game for babies, the game.
I don't think ARMS hands holds you. It's just, it's a slower game. At least that was my feeling playing it. Slower-paced game, that's all. You don't have to think as fast.
I just really, it felt like they're trying to shoehorn a lot of their games in the being eSports. You can't just fucking, that doesn't happen. You can't just force a game to be eSports. It has to be popular. Yes. People have to want to play it competitively.
You can't just make,
and then it will blow up into, like, you know, a whole eSport thing. You can't just say, this is eSports. You will accept it as eSports. No, it's not.
Unless you're Blizzard, then you can't do that. But you can't make Fetch happen.
Exactly.
All right. Some housekeeping before we get into other gaming news tonight. Next week, of course, E3. In 2 weeks, Orange Lounge Radio turns 15 years old. That's right. We'll be here on, what night even is that? June 18th, if I'm not mistaken. June 18th, we'll be here to celebrate 15 years of Orange Lounge Radio. And you might ask, what big thing do we have planned? Same old thing we usually do. What? I've given up on celebrating every anniversary and every multiple of 100 episode and all that stuff. Maybe I'm still looking into what we can do a little special for episode 700. But our 15 year celebration, I think it's best we just do what we've been doing and keep doing that. Maybe have a little more time to take calls. And so forth, so y'all can call in and say, you know, whatever you want to say about 15 years of the show. But for that, I just don't see why we wouldn't change the formula we've had for so long. Well, and I don't want to make it 3 hours about.
Well,
just
now
us.
It's our Patreon.
No. Yeah, I just don't want to make it 3 hours about us. So we'll get into news and all that stuff as well. It'll be fun. And then in 3 weeks, our reward for turning 15 years old is a vacation. We won't be here on June 20. Math is hard. June 25th, we won't be here. So enjoy that week off. I'm out of town. Darsakra's out of town. Loki isn't out of town, but is going to have a night off. So maybe he can actually play some games or write a game or I don't know.
I'm going to go see Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
There you go.
My kid doesn't want to watch the first one.
Is it still going to be in theaters in 3 weeks?
Cheap theater, maybe.
Yeah, maybe cheap theater.
I will find a theater that has it, or I'll go see, like, I'm sure there's going to be other movies out there.
Yeah, there will.
But if any listener is going to be in the San Francisco area for Pride, let me know.
Yeah, I guess I could say the same thing about Chicago. I wasn't really planning any sort of meetup or whatever, but we'll see what's out there. So
go to support.
Yeah, just have fun. All right, let's get into some gaming news and what's been going on around the game industry this week as we ramp up to E3. Loki.
In, like, I really thought that this already had happened news, the PlayStation 3 has ended production in Japan. That's right. The, I guess, 500 gigabyte standard model was the only remaining model available in Japan, and it's stopped shipping. So that's quite a long time, 11 years.
I feel like the PlayStation 2 just ended a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think so, too. I was like, that's so kind of being produced?
Yeah, the total shelf life, I feel like, was a little longer for 2 than it was for 3. But, you know, again, obviously a lot of stuff has just moved on to PlayStation 4. I don't think PlayStation 3 really had any new titles planned for this year. Aside from, well, Persona. They got Persona 5 because that was promised on PlayStation 3.
They have, actually, surprisingly enough, they still have stuff coming out for the PlayStation
3. Do they really?
3. Yeah, like, in fact, I want to see
the sports,
next week.
Sports ball games.
Kids games.
Okay.
Like, I know the Cars 3 game's coming out on PlayStation 3.
Okay, but those come out on every platform.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, and then the Final Fantasy 14 expansion is not PlayStation 3. They are going, because that was like, wasn't that the last game to come out on PlayStation 2 was a Final Fantasy 11 expansion? I feel like it was.
Yes.
So the Final Fantasy 14 expansion, they and there was this big to-do about it. They are ending PlayStation 3 support in 2 weeks. If you're playing Final Fantasy 14 on PlayStation 3, you can no longer play, not even, like, you can't even play the vanilla regular game. It's you're losing access to the game completely. However, Square Enix is doing a free, if you buy a PlayStation 4, they'll upgrade your license so that you can play Final Fantasy 14 on PlayStation 4. They're not going to make you rebuy that game. So that was a nice thing for them to do, but very interesting that they are pulling, because this is something they never did with Final Fantasy 11 that they probably could have done a long time before. But yeah, so going to be very interesting. But that could have been one of the last PlayStation 3 titles, but they are not doing it. So that's it. Dungeon Buster 3 in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I love my PlayStation 3 even when it sounds like a leaf blower. Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot to love about PlayStation 3. I mean, it's not that it's a bad console or whatever. It's just, you know, its life cycle is done. Sony is more interested in moving on to PlayStation 4.
The original model, you could kill a man with it. But
yes, you could. Let's see, JD in chat pointing out PS2 ended in 2012. So I guess
it wasn't that long ago then.
It was like, yeah, considering it was, what, 6 or 7 years between consoles, it's only been 4 years since they pulled. That's what I'm saying, is that period seems shorter than the actual wait between the PlayStation 2 and the PlayStation 3, if that makes sense. Anyway. Let's move on and talk about some E3 things coming up, including what's going to be happening with Ubisoft. Ubisoft apparently has a new IP to reveal at E3. They did a teaser trailer this week, but it's, of course, a bunch of jokes because they redacted half the things in the trailer, meaning there's surprises coming.
Let me guess. Is it going to be Just Dance 2017 or 18, whatever year that they're doing now? Is that what it's going to be?
I think that's probably a given that there's some type of Just Dance game coming out, but I think that's kind of not the highlight. But what is interesting to point out, I did not see an announcement that Aisha Tyler would be hosting. So, sadly, it doesn't appear she's going to be doing that. She's probably very busy, though. I mean, with all the stuff. She had a movie coming out or something that she was around promoting. So, anyway, so the Ubisoft thing is coming. We know one thing we're going to hear more about is the Mario plus Rabbid games, although I would have thought this is one they were going to let Nintendo reveal, although thanks to the leaks, who knows? But some more details about the game came out, some more leaks from their leaky sources within Ubisoft. Ubisoft was apparently the one that came up with the idea, and they went through the pitch process with Nintendo. The game apparently was in the works for the Wii U at first, but obviously the Wii U kind of ended abruptly and everything shifted over to the Switch, so this game kind of went with that as well. It's being made by Ubisoft Paris and Milan, most of it being handled in Milan, such as the core creative direction. Nintendo is overseeing it and approving ideas, but they've been pretty quick to approve things. Ubisoft is still kind of the brains behind it. Apparently, there was a Donkey Kong-themed Rabbid that was one of the boss encounters at one point. No word if that is still there or not. So there you go. Let's see. It says, though, that when this boss faints, the Princess Peach Rabbid will take a selfie with him after he faints. That sounds cute, I guess.
Oh, my God. That's so current and hilarious.
Well, to be fair, D.Va has a very similar little thing in Overwatch that she does for one of her play of the game poses. So, what can you do? Anyway, there was an additional mode named Arena that was apparently in the UI. Maybe something that would help the game kind of have an online life, I suppose. Also, apparently, Amiibo figures being prototyped. I know. Try to contain your shock and awe. But these Rabbid figures will probably be out in Amiibo form at some point. The game was originally supposed to be unveiled during the January Switch event, but it got pushed back to get a little more polish. It will be revealed at E3 and released in August or September. That's all the latest rumors with this game. But, you know, when you've got a leak that shows you the fucking art, it's pretty hard to deny that it's happening. So
not impossible, but hard.
Yeah. I mean, Grant, anyone can make a leak. We know that, but this
we're
one,
not going to confirm nor deny it.
Yeah. So, but I
anyone
think,
can take a leak.
This one's got a little more substance behind it than most of the pre E3 stuff. What?
So it's a poop.
Yes.
Okay.
Moving on, Dark Saga.
Well, people have been talking a bit about the online service for the Switch from Nintendo that should launch in 2008. The announcement.
You mean 2018?
2008.
He said 2008.
Well, it's hard to be confused when the tech is from 2008.
That's when it should have launched. I'm just kidding.
Anyway, 2018, right. At any rate, they are saying that since it's going to come out then and it will be a $20 a month charge, $19.99, they're going to leave the online competitive and cooperative multiplayer features free until then.
Just another small correction. It's $20 a year. So just
that's
just be,
what I said annually.
You said, but your words out of your mouth said month. It's okay, $20 a year.
Oh my God.
That's why we're here.
I should have taken you up on the coffee. Anyway, they are going to have an option where you pay $3.99 a month or $7.99 for 3 months. But the online service is going to have retro games to download, including Super Mario 3, Balloon Fight, Dr. Mario, some of the other items. To play free during that time period, you will have to have a Nintendo account. For real. An actual Nintendo account, not a month. In 2008.
Teen.
I was saying, not a month in 2008.
I get it.
That was correct.
Yes, you're being self-referential. Next story. I get it. All right. Well, no, we got to talk a little bit about this because this is a huge change, right, Loki? There's a huge change going on here. This whole classic game thing, certainly notable, that they're talking about, that the classic game thing is an online library that you'll have access to. So basically, it sounds, and I kind of still feel like we're reading into what they're saying, but it sounds like this is a Netflix model for the classic game library that they're going to put out there. So it's no longer, they're no longer talking this whole one game a month or whatever. It is, to be fair, what a lot of us have been asking for. A Netflix library for classic games.
Yeah, I'd lower those expectations quite a bit.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be anything like that. I think it's going to be a couple of games you have access to play. So instead of being oh so generous and giving you one game to play per month, because that's really stupid, they're giving you a few games per month to play, and that's it. I'm hoping.
But you don't think they're going to like turn one off? Why would they turn a game off?
I don't know that. I mean, all I'm saying is I don't anticipate there being a huge library of games. I hope there is. I mean, it'd be nice, but does this mean that there's not going to be a virtual console?
That's what I'm curious about, because now that I've heard this, I'm kind of wary on, well, it's not just this, but then the fact that Neo Geo games have been coming out like crazy on the Switch through the whole arcade archive thing. So, I mean, Neo Geo was a virtual console thing before, but now, like, there's at least 10 of those Neo Geo games available on the Switch. So that's not falling under the virtual console banner. So I am kind of at a pause going, well, maybe virtual console is not a thing then. This is what we're getting instead. But with this, they said there was a little something in that comment that said, we're working on trying to get Super Nintendo games to work, but it's not going to be available right away. So I'm paraphrasing.
Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, I'm sorry. Like,
it's the online part. The online part is the important part.
Are you sure it's the online part? Because online part, I mean, they have emulators that play Super Nintendo games online that have been out since, like, the 90s. I mean, I can't anymore. Like, you're talking about the company that made the fucking, they designed the fucking hardware for this shit. And they can't fucking figure out how to turn a game that came out literally in the 90s and make it play over the internet. Like, are you fucking me? Are you seriously fucking, seriously saying this, that you can't do this shit? How fucking inept are you that you can't do this?
To be fair, It's kind of still vague. I don't think we have a hard line on what exactly the games are, how many there's going to be. I actually do kind of feel, to a point, people do need to approach this with caution, because I've seen a lot of the hot takes out there on blogs and things are like, Nintendo's going to open the vault of NES games and you're going to be able to play them all for $20 a month.
I would love
that. No, you're
not.
No, you are not. You are going to be able to play a handful that Nintendo takes through a painstaking QA process the way that they do with virtual console games, and there will be a few a month, but I don't think they're going to like end date them or anything. Like, I think when this thing opens and launches, there'll be like 5 games. And yeah, you'll be able to play those all with your monthly, or your yearly subscription fee or whatever. And then the next month there might be 2 more, and then the month after that 2 more, kind of like Netflix. You're going to add to it a little bit at a time, but don't expect the floodgates to be open with fucking 100 games when this thing launches. That ain't happening. I would say best case scenario, and this is absolute best case scenario, it's the same 30 games on the NES Classic.
Here's a weird idea. I know it's kind of crazy. Why not just, I don't know, put out that fucking library of 100 games, but hey, guess what? Only some of them have multiplayer support right now. And as we go along, we're going to add support to more games. Doesn't that seem fucking reasonable? Like, oh my god, like, I must be a fucking genius that can run a company like Nintendo. Because I literally shit out that idea right now with, like, no fucking forethought. But, oh, it's too fucking hard for me to put fucking networking into an old-ass game. Fucking emulators have had this shit for years now. Their emulators are so fucking sophisticated, it could trick your own fucking online store into thinking it's a real system so you can buy games from it. That's ridiculous.
I think I've gone deaf in one ear.
What else is new on this show? To be fair, there are, like, all NES games don't emulate the same. You know that. There's different mappers that go with different NES games. Some of them are more challenging to emulate than others. So I get in that regard, they can't just open the floodgates and it's, oh, every single NES game. And plus, then you throw the whole third-party angle into it, and not every Nintendo game was made by Nintendo. Some of the big classics are Konami, Square, Capcom, you know, they have to get them to sign on board too. So I would say almost the legal part probably holds shit up more than the technical part half the time.
I know my Raspberry Pi really struggles with Contra.
But well, but your Raspberry Pi is illegal. It is. It's not legal. I mean, it's that whole like gray area sort of thing in that whole thing. But it's this is the difference between what's illegal and what's legal. So the Raspberry Pi is illegal. You can sugarcoat it however you want, but that's what it is. The virtual console service or whatever it ends up being on the Switch is legal. And I think half the time it's probably a legal battle that gets these games tied up because legal shit takes a very, very,
very
long time. Now, that being said, Loki, Nintendo sure did produce a lot of games on their own, especially when the NES first launched. The entire launch library was games they made, like 15 or 20 of them. So in that regard, I don't see a reason why Nintendo can't put a lot of their games available on the service, but perhaps they feel there is strength in drip feeding it a little bit instead of opening the floodgates at once.
That's surely how they've been treating their consoles supply.
Yeah, but Loki, when they didn't do that, they got beat up over it. That's what happened with the Wii U. The Wii U was a failure because you put all these games out at once and then there was nothing for an entire year, practically. So, Loki, which way is it going to be? Is it going to be all at once, or is it going to be a drip feed? Because Nintendo sure can't seem to win that battle either way.
It wasn't a failure because they put out a bunch of games. It was a failure because they didn't have third-party support for the system. Because they chose to market a system that was underpowered at the time, and they couldn't pick up the third-party games that were running on more powerful engines that wouldn't run on that system. Despite the fact that they're saying, hey, look at this, it's more powerful than the Xbox 360. Well, yeah, that may be true. But it's not as powerful as a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and it can't run fucking Battlefield or Call of Duty or all that other shit. I mean, sure, it ran Call of Duty, but eventually they stopped making it for it or all the other stuff. So that's what killed the system, not because they put out too many fucking virtual console games.
So, but I just don't know where this leaves virtual console. Are we now towards this? Because here's the thing. If they do put out Mother 3... I fully expect that that's going to be a standalone thing that's not tied to any type of virtual console banner or anything. It's just going to be, hey, Mother 3 is out now on the Switch. It's a port. And that's it. I kind of think this whole virtual console thing may move to this Nintendo Premium thing. So I'm now less hopeful that we're getting a virtual console at E3.
Really, all they had to do is just put out the content and price it right, and people would buy it. Like, look at my fucking Steam library and PlayStation library. It's stuff I buy on an impulse because the pricing is right. It may not be something like, oh, that looks like fun, I might play that, you know, and then I buy it. And same with virtual console. If they priced it, like, I'd say maybe like $5 at the most, maybe, you know, throw some stuff out there for a dollar or two, whatever, I'd be picking up shit that I might play. I may not necessarily play, but I certainly have a large, you know, catalog of that stuff available to me. And that's more money to them than if I'm paying them $3 a month for this quote-unquote online service that has this stuff available. I just think there's more money for them to be made, and they just need to do it right. And that's the problem, is they're not.
So ActDeft is linking me to this article over on Forbes, which, first off, almost anybody can write for that website. So my guard is already up going on to here. But let me see if they had actually got a quote here from this. So, okay, speaking with Famitsu, a Nintendo rep said that the classic game selection tentative name is different from the virtual console. Meanwhile, the timeline for virtual console sale is still undecided. So, here's the thing, though. Okay, so Nintendo might be saying that and all. One, plans change. Because this was not supposed to be what was going to happen for the online service, so plans changed. Online service was supposed to be out this year, and it was going to be one game a month, so plans changed. In some ways, for the better, yes. But the other thing with the whole virtual console is, doesn't that muddy the waters a little bit? Or, okay, here's what I think it's going to be. I know what it is. Classic game selection is going to be the really old stuff. NES, Super Nintendo, if they can get it working and all that stuff. Virtual console, when they sell you Wii games on the Wii U, they call that virtual console. So you know what virtual console is going to be? GameCube games on the Switch. That's going to be virtual. It's going to be the newer games. It's not going to be the really old stuff. But that's, again, that's a prediction. That's not necessarily, you know, what will happen. But I think I can sort of see where that division's going to come into play. is that it's going to be like GameCube games will be Virtual Console, which could be great because it would give people a way to experience Metroid Prime before perhaps Retro announces a new Metroid Prime game or something in that universe. That would be exciting. But I think that could be where the division is at. So we'll see.
And hey, you'd have F-Zero on your console.
Hey, if they actually do it and they put F-Zero GX on the Switch, or AX, GX. If they put F-Zero GX on the Switch, fuck yeah, I'm buying it. Of course I am. And you are too, if you get a Switch at some point. All right. Moving on. That was plenty enough on Nintendo's online service. So let's talk...
About Nintendo's online service.
Fuck.
Let's do that. Because, you know, it's not that ridiculous that they're putting in an online service. Now, what is ridiculous is how they're having you do chat. And that's just a whole bunch of fun stuff. So this came out from a picture of a new headset that's being put out there that's a whole Splatoon themed. And so it kind of gives a diagram of how this would connect up with your system. So basically, you have your headset. It has a splitter that's shaped like a squid, you know, cute and everything. One half of that goes to your Nintendo Switch. The other half goes to your phone. So basically, you're using your phone to chat, and you're using your Nintendo Switch for game audio, and it's all mixing together in your headset. And so where people have trouble with this, it's just, great, I've got all these dongles now. Like, imagine if you're going playing this out somewhere, you have to carry all this shit with you in order to do that with your headset. Which I think, I don't know why they couldn't just integrate that shit into the system. I don't know why it has to be a separate app. I'm still not, they haven't really explained why that needs to be.
I'm holding off judgment on this whole thing until Splatoon 2 is out and we have more information on how this works. But honestly, Loki, with the technology, the minute we heard it was a smartphone app and this is the way they're going to do it, how would this not be? I mean, like, I kind of think people are blowing this way out of proportion because... A, there are certainly headsets for Xbox and PlayStation that when they're wired are very similar types of setups. I own a fucking headset that does this exact same thing because it purposely does integrate your smartphone into the whole thing so that you can be playing PlayStation and take calls and all this stuff. Which I don't know why I bought that headset, but I have it. So with this the way they're doing this is not completely unheard of. How else would you get two different inputs into one headset? Yes, there's going to be a splitter.
Couldn't they have like a wireless solution to that though?
They could have done Bluetooth integration. That would be the way to get around this and have the smartphone do Bluetooth over to the system and then the system pumps all the audio through. But maybe they are worried about that 1% CPU loss overhead or something. I don't know what it is, but again, this is also the schematics of one third-party app solution. I'm not sure I'm hearing, and chat, correct me if I'm wrong, this is not necessarily the end-all, be-all, the way it will be done 100% of the time.
But this is all we have to go on right now.
This is all we have to go on right now. But again, I take you back to the original question. When you were told it was a smartphone app, how the fuck else was it going to happen through one headset?
I don't know. Plans change. How about some common sense and realize, hey, maybe we should just integrate this shit into our console, like all the other game consoles out there. Is how they should have done it, because it's ridiculous. Why is it through an app? Why is it through an app? Let's show me why that has to be done through an app. Please explain that to me.
So, couple interesting things here. Dark Tetsuya says, wouldn't Bluetooth have interfered with the Joy-Cons? I thought there was some limitation on the Joy-Cons because of the Bluetooth thing. So, that could be, to be fair. And ActDeft also points out, one thing to know about this, Nintendo isn't making it. It's Hori that's doing this. So this
yeah,
is
but
not.
Hori has to get the specifications from someone. Sure. They're not just coming up with this shit on their own. So that's fine. I will wait till Nintendo shows me what the official solution is going to be. But I'm having a feeling it's going to be this, and I still don't understand why it has to be that way.
To be fair, and I think this is something else we need to hear out. I think we're all going to the direction of Nintendo's smartphone app is going to be. That's all it's going to do is the voice chat. But I believe the app Nintendo plans to put out is going to be more than voice chat. It's not just the voice chat solution, but they've had this whole talk about scheduling play sessions, like that it might be more of a, dare I say it, social network type of app for Nintendo gamers, which could be very interesting. But if Nintendo didn't do this and Nintendo said, you know what, we're not going to do voice chat just like we didn't do on the Wii U, how was everybody getting voice chat on the Wii U? Through apps. So is this really going to be that different in that regard? I still want to hear Nintendo's big vision on this whole thing out. That's all I'm saying is that the app is going to be more than voice chat because they've indicated as much. So let's hear what the big story is on this.
But you have a game console that runs software. Why can't you run an app on there for that? Why can't you integrate this into the OS? Why does this have to be a separate device that you do this with? It's mind-boggling stupid.
That's not Nintendo's fault. That's your fault.
It's my fault that I told them to design a console that can't fucking handle voice chat and games?
It's because everybody is glued to their fucking smartphones. And the investors said, Nintendo, you need to be doing more with smartphones because everybody's on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. Nintendo, you need a piece of that. So if you want to blame somebody, blame all the people that said Nintendo needed to go mobile. Because guess what? They're doing it, and now you're getting mad at them.
I'm sorry. That's like telling somebody you need to go mobile and then they're fucking retarded and make a stupid decision like this. Don't get me wrong. They're making mobile games. That's them going mobile. Their investors didn't say, well, you need the fucking shoehorn a goddamn phone in there to make it work like we want it to. Okay, your investors are fucking retarded then. I'm sorry. Nobody that's putting money into a company is going to say, this is a great fucking idea. Nobody. Look at all the other hardware developers out there, all the other consoles. Is anybody doing it that way? No. Why? Because it doesn't make any fucking sense. Because their systems, they're like, well, maybe we should just put the fucking voice chat and shit in the console. Because that would be easier for people instead of having to, especially let's say we're going to sell this to the kids, okay? Because, Splatoon's for kids and all that stuff. Okay, so now I've got to loan my phone to my kids so that they can voice chat over the internet and stuff like that because this is the way it's got to fucking be. And yes, I get it. Oh, well, your kids shouldn't be talking to strangers over the internet. But that's okay because it has friend codes, so you're only going to be talking to your buddies and all that stuff. It's stupid. It is honestly stupid.
Well, let me just fire up my PlayStation app that Sony put together on the mobile device and let me see all these things that Sony has done on the mobile phone, yet nobody seems to be critical of
that. Go ahead. Let's hear your wonderful comeback here, and I will lovely shoot it down for you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, please. I can look at my friends list and my what's new. Oh, I can map to another app if I want to take a look at my messages because it won't show me that in my main app. I can apparently go on to PlayStation Now, but I don't think I can actually play the games here on this app and so forth. But where was all the hatred for this?
You know why? Because you can do that shit on the fucking console as well. Guess what? If I didn't have that app or a phone, I'm not fucking losing any features because guess what? I can just go into the system, go up to my fucking friends list, and I can send messages, I can chat online, I can fucking play against people across the internet. I don't need a fucking phone and app to do that because it's integrating the goddamn system.
I got another great word for you. You ready? Smart glass.
That's Microsoft's stupid shit. And did it ever go anywhere? No. Know why? Because all that shit's fucking integrated into the goddamn system. They just realized they need a second screen.
It wasn't. Not the stuff that they were doing with the whole Dance Central and all this stuff that they were doing. But anyway.
That was unnecessary bullshit that they were doing with it. It was just... Let's try to bring it back to the Switch here on how unnecessary it was. Like all the 1-2 Switch games that really could have been played without, waggling the controllers around. Do we really need to have that? I mean, they put out a lot of gimmicky shit to try to demonstrate the device. I mean, same with Kinect. Kinect had a lot of stupid shit too. But they realized it was a failure and they quit it. And they didn't also use that for matchmaking, for setting up party chat. It wasn't the exclusive way to do that.
All right. Act Deft in chat says, I get Loki's point, but at the same time, I don't think Loki gets Nintendo's point either. Well, I mean, we don't really know Nintendo's point. We'll find out more in a little over a week. So on that note, let's move on because we still have a long show ahead. So I want to talk a little bit about Metroid. Oh, yes. It seems like we're all anticipating that maybe Metroid could make a comeback. But, it seems like it's a long shot, unfortunately. We don't know anything for sure. But apparently, I didn't realize this, but apparently Archie Comics, who you know, does Archie. But they also do other comics as well, right?
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Sure. Josie and the Pussycats was a whole Archie thing, right? And all these other people we're seeing on Riverdale, right? That's all the Archie universe.
That looks like a very edgy show based on the Netflix banner that they have up there.
Well, Archie also did a Mega Man comic at one point, but they pitched a Metroid comic in 2009. So there were concepts from comic book artist Stephen Butler, who created some concepts in 2011, and Butler was even paid by Archie for this. 2011, however, was right around the same time that Other M came out, so apparently Nintendo did not jump in on this idea, so this comic book was unfortunately never fully realized, but you can see some of the sketches around out there floating around the internet. I guess Stephen Butler actually posted some of this on his Facebook this week, so... Bummer, because if Metroid had become part of the Archie universe, then maybe Samus could have shown up on Riverdale. That would have been kind of awesome.
That would have been weird.
It would have been awesome. No. Maybe not so much, but it's fun to imagine. Dark Sakura.
Well, we do have something about Valve, and I know Bobby touched on it in detail on his show, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Valve is getting away from Steam Greenlight. As I've brought up before, what they're doing in its place is called Steam Direct. So basically, instead of gathering support from the community to get onto Steam, all the developers have to do is pay a $100 publishing fee for the game that they can recoup after the game hits $1,000 in sales. Basically, Greenlight has a $100 fee, but you pay it once. This is going to be per game. And I mean, and it could have been much more. It could have been, I think they had talked like up to $5,000, but now, they said they were also even considering though that they had it hovering around the $500 mark, but they think that it's best to keep it as low as possible. So, now for $100, people can, get their game into the store and, I think it also will just avoid, what's a good word to think about it? It could avoid, you know, being able to put in, I think, things that may not be quite as...
Fart Simulator 2017.
Okay, that. At the same time, $100, even if somebody that doesn't have it themselves, you know, if you're working with other people, I mean, or shoot, I mean, a Kickstarter for $100... We need $100 to get this game on Steam.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Right. And I think you get the $100 back if you get like $1,000 in sales.
That's what I said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, here's the thing. It's a tricky line because, yes, I'm all for more indie developers being able to have access to this. And, you know, somebody with the next great big idea, great idea in gaming may not have the budget to be able to drop $500 or whatever to get their game on Steam. So that's fine. I'm all for more people being able to have access to the store. However, there's going to have to be a serious step up on Valve's part with curating what all is in the store and being able to recognize when Fart Simulator 2017 comes, because it's inevitable. You put this bar at $100, anybody can sign up. Fart Simulator 2017 is coming.
It already has.
Valve needs to sandbag that shit to the literally to the bottom of the store,
but
where people aren't finding it.
Here's this.
What?
They pay their $100 per shitty game or per great game. The ones that are going to make the money and then get their $100 back are the good games, in theory. I mean, unless Fart Simulator people have like a bajillion friends, I don't know. Or people go, LOL, Fart Simulator.
It's just almost if I could just open 100 million robot accounts to upvote things or write fake tweets.
But now it's based on money. People have to purchase.
Oh, so in other words,
this
okay.
content.
So they sort of do that with the ratings now. I get what you're going with that. And they sort of do that with the ratings now. Like, they show on the ratings, like, how long have you played this? But I get where you're going with that.
Yeah, people have to actually put out the money for it instead of just saying, oh, I like this.
Yeah.
So now, you mean, a person can get their game out without having just the people like the concept or like the, you know, what they've seen of the game. But the real test is going to come if the game makes money. And so if it makes money, then great. The people will get their $100 back. If it doesn't, Steam has your $100.
I feel like the Apple iTunes and Google Play stores are doing okay with when it comes to the mobile world. And, of course, Fart Simulator exists on those worlds as well. Doesn't Apple have, like, a nominal, like, you have to pay, like, a yearly thing to get into
yes.
there? Yeah, so they have like a nominal thing that they
also
do.
You have to buy a Mac to be able to upload it onto their store.
What's Google's thing?
You can get a Mac Mini for dirt cheap.
What's Google's
still
thing?
Still have to buy one. Google's thing, you can still have to pay a membership as well.
Okay, so I mean, these stores are going through similar things, but I also...
And they go through a certification process, too.
I'm not as familiar with Google Play, admittedly, because I have an iPhone myself, but I do feel like the iTunes store is really heavily curated, at least the featured stuff. Believe me, when it comes to podcasting, it sure is, because we were a featured gaming podcast back in 2006 when they first launched it, but I'd love to get featured there again, but I just don't see it happening because there's too many commercial people involved with podcasting that have better connections and so forth that tend to get their stuff featured. So anyway, I'm on a tangent of sorts, but my point is iTunes has made it work because they have heavily curated for better or for worse. But I still feel like things like Flappy Bird, all joking aside, that game was a runaway hit and probably wasn't expected to be, and that had nothing to do with iTunes curating it until it was already on the wave. So, I mean, you can still have a model for success there, and I think Steam could go to something similar.
The only thing I think about the whole non-greenlight process now, granted, you know, paying $100 per game, I don't think that's going to be a barrier to entry for a lot of people that are going to put up crap anyways, because they're making their money, and then they're supposed to be tweaking this, but so far I haven't detailed on how they're going to do that. They make their money off of the trading cards. And the way they do that is they get a portion of every sale of those trading cards. So they make it super easy for you to get the trading cards, and then people, you know, they put out the game for, like, say, 99 cents or something like that. People play the game, get the trading cards, sell the trading cards, make money off of it, and then in turn the publisher makes money off of it as well and make money off the sale of the game. And they do that ad nauseum, so that's how they make their money. But I don't think now that
there's something Steam can do. $100 to get your game on Steam, $1,000 to get it with cards.
Well, they're still going to tweak that at some point. I'm not sure how it is going to be tweaked with the whole trading card stuff to try to curtail that. But I think right now, one of the things though, that I'm kind of... I mean, I guess it's a good and a bad thing. So it's good that you don't have to get through the green light process, although it wasn't all that difficult to do that. But the stuff that's truly crap out there, though, I mean, that's not going to have to go through the green light process. It's just going to get pooped onto the store, basically, for $100. So, I mean, there's still going to be shit on there. It seems like almost there's less oversight regarding the whole thing. I know that they went into details on how they were going to do that. Like, there's going to be ways to report if the game's broken. Because there are a lot of games that are released on there that just don't work, period. I mean, they're just not functional. So that's a big thing. But at least there's a stream refund, so there's that kind of process. I don't know. It's just going to take a whole lot of growing and more, actual people looking at it. Through Valve. Yeah. And like Valve and YouTube, they want to take this whole hands-off approach, with content curation. That's just not going to, you can't right. do that. Right. Algorithms haven't worked.
Only go so far. All right. Just a few more stories for you guys, and then the classic game of the week, Loki.
So Twitch has played something else now. This time they're playing the stock market. That's right. So apparently there is an Amazon engineer, Mike Roberts. He has put $50,000 of his savings into this app that's basically a stock market ticker. So think of how they had with the whole Twitch Plays Pokemon, where people would vote on different things. So they would be, buy this stock, sell this stock in this case. So after there's been a certain 5-minute time, it'll go ahead and do the action, whatever's been voted highest. And so, so far, he's actually made a little bit of money to it. The game will continue until his money is down below $25,000, which I guess apparently is a FINRA regulation. So if he's below that amount, then it's basically over. But that's kind of crazy to put that kind of money on the line for people that just play Twitch. But then
look at all this press coverage it's got him.
Yeah, he's got a lot of press coverage. There's a lot of people really enthusiastic about it. And he's kind of making money right now. So, cool.
Cool. Have you checked it? I have to admit, I have not checked this out whatsoever.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out yet. But if you are interested to take a look at it, it's at twitch.tv/stockstream. So, go take a look and see where he's at. In fact, I'm just kind of taking a peek right now to see how much money...
Have they made money?
How much money has he made? Let's see. Well, the markets are closed right now, so I'm
right.
Trying.
Of course.
Most recent video. Let's see where he was at. He's up $700,000. He's $700, so $764.91.
Not
bad. I
not
mean,
bad.
And yeah, I mean that was up a percent. Looks like so.
But the stock market's also been doing well. In general, like, didn't they hit another record on Thursday or something like that?
So and that was at the beginning. So let me try to see the where was he at the end here? $765.47. Not bad.
All right. Good job,
Apparently,
Twitch.
Apparently, this is doing pretty well. So yeah.
Maybe I need to put some money up. No, just kidding. I'm not going to. All right. Something that you can invest in, as I'm sure is a series a lot of people invested themselves in, is Life is Strange. Of course, this game, they practically were giving it away at some point, at least the episode one. You know, they wanted more people to play it. I have to admit, I never got around to playing the series. It's still kind of on my list to do, but I haven't really heard a bad thing about it. Pretty much everybody I know that's taken the time to play Life is Strange really, really enjoyed it and the story. In fact, most of the tweets I've seen about it were things along the line of, that game fucked me up. Like those sorts of things. So I'm sure some people will be very pleased to hear that a prequel to the game Life is Strange is apparently in the works, because some screenshots have popped up. A French website called Game Cult found an image there at Deck 9 Games website, and it has since disappeared. So this could be something that we're maybe hearing more about at E3. So of course the leak made its way to NeoGAF, and apparently somebody over on NeoGAF said that Deck 9's actually been developing the game for some time. It's going to be exploring the relationship between two of the characters in the game. That might be spoilery for me to say, so that's going to explore that a little bit in the prequel there. So if you didn't know, if you've never heard of Deck 9, they were called Idle Minds. And they have rebranded themselves, and they're doing narrative-driven titles. So we'll see what happens at E3, because that would be a great time to announce it, and could also explain why you had an image floating out there on a website that you didn't really have linked to yet. I guess this whole thing was found in an imager thing somewhere, so that's how they did it. Anyway, let's go back to Stranger Times in the segment that we call the Classic Game of the Week. And every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you should check this out. Stop playing your narrative-driven story games. Back in my day, games didn't talk to you. You talked to them and screamed obscenities at them, just like Loki does on this program.
A game that's taken me about 20 years to get over.
What is your classic game of the week, Dark Sakura?
Fucking Time Crisis.
Is that the?
It is kind of narrative-driven.
Is that the legal name of the game?
Yes, it's fucking Time Crisis. The reason I say that is I worked at a Namco arcade that had Time Crisis right across from the ticket counter, and I had this damn intro memorized. Your father will pay the price for destroying the Imperial rule. Whatever. It almost pissed me off as much as Daytona. Anyway, Time Crisis is a first-person on-the-rails light gun shooter game. It was put out by Namco, and it was released in arcades in 1995. Because this was a Namco arcade game, it came out in the Namco arcades first, along with Tekken 3 at the same time, just saying. Anyway, it later got ported to PlayStation consoles, which we also had this, and the gun had, like, this pedal that you'd step on for doing the dodge.
Or, if you were too cheap and didn't have a pedal like I did, you can use a controller.
Okay, wait. I have a very important question. Sorry, Dark Sakura. I know you're in the middle of this whole thing. No. How did this happen? I'm looking at our Twitter right now. How did the Classic Game of the Week get posted 11 minutes ago? And I'm like, how does everybody in chat know what the game is already?
Because Ranma did it too soon.
Did you tell Ranma to post this?
I did, because he wouldn't be here listening tonight. I didn't tell him to post it early.
Spoiler alert.
I didn't tell him to post it early.
Okay, because I'm like, how... How could, and like somebody even replied. I get a notice on my phone that somebody put "Don't come," and I'm like, "How do they fucking know what the
Don't
game is
come.
Already? How do they know what the game is already?" This is the biggest controversy to happen at OLR all year.
Ranma and I are going to have a talk.
The classic game was ruined, spoiled.
It's already a bad game. Well, not really bad, but Ranma and I we're going to have a talk. In fact, I'm about to email him in a moment after this and be like, "Bitch, actually, hold on." I have my phone right now. And hold on.
We're going to send out these guys to Rama's house.
It's Starting a new message.
Going in chat. Let's see. Dungeon Buster in chat says, time crisis announcement. Announced before it's time. Black Wolf says, change it to Halo. YYR says, nothing can ruin time crisis. JD says, time travel crisis. And Orange Wright says, 11 minutes early crisis.
Pretend I'm all mad,
I think
too.
I think he just guessed, like, oh, surely they didn't get on any topics tonight that had Loki on 20-minute tangents. Surely that didn't happen tonight. Now's about the right time to make a post to Tumblr.
I said, WTF, did you post classic game before I even did the segment? I'm acting all mad there. I'm not
one
mad
of these
at funny,
weeks, I'm just going to pretend I'm not mad at anything Nintendo, and everybody's not going to notice.
I'm not mad either. It's one of those things that's funny, and I was just confused. I was like, how does everybody fucking know this already before I even knew it? Well, okay, I did know early, but it's like, how did everybody know this already? Anyhow, come on, your disco needs you, and chat says, Ranma, your premature posting did not leave us impressed. Now, sachet away.
LOL, I'm not mad, but don't do it again.
You have to put an emoji. All right. Look.
Okay.
Enough texting. Tell us more about
texting
time crisis.
Texting you live.
Hi, Rama.
All right.
I love you.
Anyway, time crisis. All the time crisis games revolve around threats to a particular nation. We are going with the first one. So basically, you are part of a group called VSSE, Vital Situation Swift Elimination, a covert organization, and they send their highly skilled agents with bad voice acting to solve the problem. Anyway, you have three stages with four areas in the first game, and you basically just have to go around shooting shit and, you know, not shooting the innocent people and fighting bosses and big, you know, helicopters and a guy called Mad Dog. But this was a game that also, one of the games that gave us Gun Cons. Yay, Gun Cons. I love specialty controllers, like, probably more than I should. So anyway, with the game, you know, you also have a time limit to be able to continue, because of course they want to make money, you don't just get infinite time. And it also has a cover system, which is one of the first games to do that. You would tap on a pedal and you go behind cover, and it would protect you, but you couldn't shoot. You'd also, as I recall, I think you also went into cover to reload your gun. And basically, you'd have to clear the levels and keep going. I mean, basically, it is a freaking gun game. You also would have, you could get shot at, but the hits wouldn't be announced. They were called unannounced. So that people wouldn't know that they had been hit, and so they would lose lives. Kind of, I'd say, a cheap move. The whole point of it was to, you know, make you spend more money to get through the damn game. But, the first game had Richard Miller as your main character, and he also showed up again in Time Crisis Project Titan, also called the One Man Army. He was also in Namco High, so I think that was funny. I never played his thing in Namco High. Anyway, you had other characters. You know, you had the president's daughter, Rachel McPherson. And Wild Dog, again. I can't help but laugh, because last night I was picking the story and we were watching the thing. And then Dan was like, Wild Dog! And I was like, okay. And then it came up on the screen. I was like, yeah, Wild Dog. So anyway, the game itself is... It's fun, you know. It's Time Crisis. And it spawned many, many sequels. I think up to Time Crisis 5 is what we're on now. And there was a spinoff from the first Time Crisis that was Time Crisis Project Titan. And It's been... It's just Time Crisis. Fucking annoying ass game.
Now, YYR is heaping lots of praise on this game, and a lot of it has to do with the graphics. You know, that this, in the arcade anyway, was a 60 frames a second. Like, it was a very, very technologically superior game for 1995. And I think, you know, probably part of why this franchise is still going today, and many of your local movie theaters probably have Time Crisis 4 or something.
I just am annoyed by it. Mm. I'm so annoyed by Time Crisis. And I thought I was over it. I really did. Okay, it's like, you know how, like, for example, people who worked in fast food may be traumatized by a fryer. Maybe. Or
I gotcha.
Maybe looking at, like, the potato cutting machine at,
sure,
you know, In-N-Out.
Sure.
Oh, my God, I can't eat fries that way ever again.
Sure. I took my pal who used to work at Starbucks. I took her to Starbucks because I wanted a drink. And she was like, I'm going to have a panic attack right here because everything's so disorganized.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, right?
I've seen it happen. But that's how I am about two games in particular. This fucking bitch here. And Daytona. Wild Dog.
Well, YYR says it's one of my favorite games of all time. I love this game. And SG100 Matt says YYR can beat it on one credit. That's pretty impressive. Because considering how designed this game was to not let you beat it on one credit.
You know what game should traumatize me? Prop Cycle. No, I'm okay. The arcade that I worked at.
It is your classic game of the week, Time Crisis.
No. Do not do this to me because I need.
No. I'm letting you vent about Prop Cycle, but we moved on to another game, clearly.
When you came into my arcade, it was like one of those long, narrow stores in the mall. The right side was the ticket counter. The left side, in this order, Prop Cycle, Time Crisis, Daytona, some pinball, the party area, right in the middle of it, Tekken 3, right across from it, Street Fighter Alpha 2. I still have that layout memorized. Oh, yeah, and the crane games.
What was the other game that they rigged to run with Prop Cycle? It was hilarious.
Adam's Family Pinball.
That's it.
How would that even work?
Why not?
It basically powers the table.
That doesn't sound like very much fun.
It's a good workout, though.
I don't know why someone would ruin an Adam's Family with that. That's just what baffles me.
Prop Cycle was awesome. All right. That's going to do it for the first half of our show. But don't go anywhere. There's plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come. We have more news for you. And our buddy YYR is going to be joining us right after a quick break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, June the 4th of 2017, episode number 689 already in progress. Myself, Rob Roberts, with you in studio, and of course, joined by my side, as always, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers, and Techmaster Loki, and we've been having quite the spirited discussion tonight on E3 shenanigans and what could be coming up next week, and some of the rumors coming out of Nintendo. But for now, I want to go to our Skype line and say hello to an old friend of the show who's sitting there on the line waiting for us. Welcome back, everybody, to the program. YYR is here. Hello.
There's been a kidnapping. It's Rachel, the daughter of the... Wait, we're still talking about Time Crisis, right?
No. Sadly, that was in the last part of the show there, so you just missed it, buddy. You just missed it. But I want to talk about some of the games you make. What's been new with you, my friend, in the game development world?
Oh, man. Well, it's been a busy weekend. I've been basically feverishly working on a variety of things ahead of the show, because what I want to talk about tonight is basically what I'm going to be focusing on for this summer and this year, and what I'm going to be showing at the Too Many Games convention in Oaks, Pennsylvania, coming up later this month.
Too many games. Please tell me they've adapted that as their theme song.
No, they I don't think to. They actually have a theme song.
Ugh, they need one.
But it's funny, the name of the convention is actually something of a misnomer, because although their arcade section has grown considerably thanks to the efforts of many, there aren't a whole lot of console games there anymore. It's mostly just the arcade and the indies.
Huh. Interesting.
So, But and of course, you can never have too many games, but that's beside the point entirely.
Correct.
But I just want to throw in before we go any further, happy pre-15, you know?
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, you've helped a lot of our dreams come true over these 15 years. So this is definitely a celebration that we share with many folks out there, and you're a part of that all here at OLR. So a happy 15 to you as well.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a little past that. But actually, 2018 will be will mark the 10-year anniversary of YYR Games. So there's that.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Was Snake 360 a game? Was that your first game in 2008?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Gosh,
that was my first modern published game. Yes.
Wow. All right. Cool. So you mentioned you're working on something right this moment that you're getting ready to show at Too Many Games. Is that something I can prod you on, or is that all still a secret?
Oh, no. I'm actually announcing it here. I mean, I put the page up on the website on Friday, and I just uploaded the screenshots now. I'm going to go ahead and stick a video link in chat. I know that's, you know, that makes for great radio. but basically, if you want to go ahead and take a quick look at that.
All right, let's do
basically
it.
What the thing that I'm releasing first, in fact, this is going to be coming out probably in the next 1 to 2 weeks, is something I call Falling Plus. Falling was my love letter to 80s, like early to mid 80s single screen action puzzle games. Think things like, you know, Mr. Do and Q-Bert, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I kind of thought that. I remember when you released Falling on XNA, the 360 thing, I thought mm-hmm. it was like a little bit like underappreciated, actually.
Well, to be honest, I think there are probably more people that listen to OLR than bought the game.
which means not many.
But I felt that the game deserved another chance.
Yeah.
So I went and I sharpened the graphics and I fixed a couple of bugs, one of which was pretty embarrassing that I'll be posting a video about that in the coming days. I fixed a couple of glitches. I added a couple of bonus modes. Basically, you know, for those that missed it the first time, it's a game where basically you play the part of Pepe the Penguin and you're in your igloo, you're just hanging out, and all of a sudden, blocks of ice start falling from the ceiling, and Wally the Walrus is breaking in too. And you have to throw or kick blocks into each other of the same color. And you have to do this while, you know, avoiding or crushing Wally before he causes even more trouble. It's a relatively simple concept. I hope more people will enjoy it the second time around. I'm going to be posting it on itch.io, and I'm planning to release it for both PC and Mac, which is pretty cool because I've never released anything on Mac before.
Fun. So if you can hear some of the noises in the background, it's a very kind of ambient noise because the YouTube we've got here is like the attract mode going on the page. But it's kind of like to me, it looks like what's that old game? Pango? Is that the name of it? Where you had the little penguin that pushed the ice blocks together? Okay, so
played popcorn.
It's they played popcorn. It's like that meets, I don't know, maybe like Puyo Puyo? Kind of? A little bit? Like, I know it's...
Maybe kind of a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, this might kind of pain you to hear all these comparisons and so forth, but one of my favorite games of all time is Pingo, so you know what? I think it's... yeah.
Well, it's... Oh, and by the way, all those sound effects were created on a Commodore 64, if you were wondering.
Yes! Perfect. So awesome. And, congrats on that. That'll be, I'm glad you're giving that game a second chance. Let us know when it hits the store so we can link people.
Yeah, I'll be tweeting about it most likely. Oh, and Monogame, which is the open source replacement for XNA, it made this really super simple. I ported it to Monogame on Friday and I ported it to Mac on Saturday. Like,
wow.
It was literally just a one day thing, and most of that was installing stuff.
That's awesome.
A lot of stuff. So I'm looking forward to releasing my first game on Mac, and I believe my planned price is $1.49. So even if your diet consists of ramen noodles, you might be able to afford it.
That's a great price for a clearly 80s classic infused arcade game that you can totally imagine at an arcade back in the day. Just not an arcade game that drove Jamie bonkers. This would be one of the games she might have actually played.
Nah.
So.
Well, we can only hope.
Mayhap.
Mayhap.
And it'll run on her Mac.
Yeah, and it'll run on her Mac.
But no Linux version? I mean, because I was thinking Penguin, you know.
It wouldn't.
You know, it's funny. I figured Jamie would give me shit if I didn't have a Mac version, but I did not expect you to give me shit for not having a Linux
version. I
mean,
I don't care. I just, you know, everybody, I associate Penguins with Linux. So, yeah.
We here at OLR are obliged to give you shit no matter how many of our dreams you make come true.
No, I don't want to give him shit because then that just opens me for shit. Well, what games have you released?
I want it to run on an Atari 800.
Hey, look, don't listen to them. I think it's great that you're getting this out there, and hopefully people will check it out.
I will say this much, and if there was anyone listening who was hoping for a Linux version, really the reason that I'm not producing one is because I have nothing to test it on.
You know what?
I won't release something I haven't tested.
Pull the fucking Capcom card and say, you know, if this one sells well, I'll think about doing it on Linux.
Although, let me make a suggestion. If you do want to try an easy-to-use build of Linux, install Linux Mint on a flash drive.
Oh.
And then, because you can there's an application called UnetBootin. That if you download Linux Mint, you can use that to put a bootable version of Linux on a flash drive. I've known a couple of people who have survived hard drive failures using that before they could afford new computers.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, good to know. Little Linux tip from Jamie.
I took it down. Thank you.
So. I have to bug you a little bit about some of your other games, because you know I'm curious about multitasking and how that's coming along.
Well, Falling Plus is the appetizer, really. Super Multitasking is the main course.
Ah.
So it will now actually be called Super Multitasking because, well, you know, first you have to do the original, then Super, then Ultra.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously.
Obviously.
I'm going to go ahead and link another video in chat now. Basically, I mean, this is not a trailer yet, but and I hope to have a trailer soon. But this is going to show you some of the improved graphics. If you're going to run that live, don't do so for more than a minute because I'm talking at the end. Basically what you're getting with Super Multitasking over the original is vastly improved graphics. I sat down with Amy and we went through every game. And she, being an artist, she looked at it and she said, well, okay, this sucks and that sucks and that sucks. And at first I gave her a big frowny face, but then I listened to her suggestions. And as a result, it looks a lot better.
Oh my God, I see some of the new things you put in here too. You have a Flappy Bird thing in here. I don't remember that from before.
Oh, that's one of the new mini games. I went from 13 to 17 mini games. Five of those are new. I actually cut one of the original ones. There are in total, because some of the games are different when they're running in different slots, there are 27 possible different games total that you can be playing. Keeping that in mind. Again, for those of you that missed it the first time, multitasking is a game where you have to play up to four continuously shuffling minigames at the same time using every part of your controller.
This looks awesome. It's so it's so simple, but it's so complicated.
Oh my God! Like even some of these new games you've put in there are something else. Like now you have
Spike Ball is evil because you have to actually dodge in all four directions rather than just left or right or up and down. So it's very difficult.
Wow! Yeah, you've come, and then I love you have a throwback to one of your old games in here too. The Shooting Gallery game
shows
up in here. You like reused your assets. That's great.
Hey, I can't sue myself, so why not?
So basically, and again, you know, I know game designers hate to hear their stuff compared to other things, but the best way I can kind of describe it is that it's like, imagine you have four Game Boy Advances all playing WarioWare at the same time.
I have been told it's WarioWare on crack. That is an actual line that I had from someone who played it at a convention.
But that's appropriate, and it's not. I mean, WarioWare is a freaking great game. And to be fair, one we haven't seen from Nintendo in a while either.
That's another game.
I should have put that on my predictions, actually. That would be a great one to see show up again at E3. But anyway, hopefully you beat them to it with multitasking.
Well, you know what? If they continue WarioWare, and they should, I would hope that they would, you know, continue it in the way that they've been doing and focus on what they do well. But, you know, I'll run with this ball and take it a little bit further. And speaking of taking it further, so the challenge mode, I don't know if you guys remember the challenge mode. So there's, you know, the standard mode where you just last as long as possible and it progressively gets more and more difficult. But also there's a challenge mode where you have scripted challenges where it's the same every time. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, specific setups that were basically designed to infuriate you.
Yay.
that's been expanded from 30 to 42 challenges, 12 all new, and, you know, a few subtle changes made to the existing ones. And the last five of them I'm probably creating over the next few days, but they're already planned. And then, and hopefully the streamers are going to love this one, I've added a mode called Challenge Speedrun, which is basically, it tasks you with completing the entire challenge mode in one sitting, complete with a little count-up timer in the lower right corner, and, you know, it does the speedrun, you know, work for you.
Interesting. And, I'm glad you kind of developed it with that in mind.
Yeah, and I mean, this is basically, I want to see people post times that are just unfathomable on this.
Be careful what you wish for. Somebody's gonna figure out how to break your game, because that's how speedrunners do it. They're gonna break the damn game to get it done.
Hey, if that's good, that's good. Please break my game so I can fix it.
All right. So you know what question I gotta prod you with? Do we have a release date yet, or what?
I'm planning this summer. All right, probably late summer. I'm feverishly working. My to-do list is down to one page. Basically what I'm going to be adding in the next week or two, because I need this ahead of the convention, is when you lose, it's not just going to put a big old game over in your face, but it's actually going to give you tips, either depending on how far you got, how to play the mini game that you failed, or if you got further, how to better multitask the game that you failed. I want people to understand that, yes, it's hard, but I want to encourage them to keep trying and to do better.
Well, I look forward to playing this myself and being able to stream this game at some point this summer.
You know, it's funny. It's like, I don't remember if I brought this up before. There was a game on XNA that, or, you know, Xbox Indie Games I played that was, they had you do multitasking. I don't remember what it was called. It was where you had to play a space shooter game and you had to listen to your girlfriend talk to you and you had to repeat back what she was saying. and that was the funniest part about it.
And you get a quiz.
Like she's talking to you and you're like, you're trying to play the shmup, and then like, you're, okay, what did I just say? You know, it's like, it's pretty
That's
funny.
Very
That's
funny.
Pretty awesome. That's a good idea for a game. I like that.
If anyone can remember what that's called, I feel like I need to check that out.
I don't remember. I don't remember. It's like some weird
Super Nag.
It may have been something like that, you know. It's something ridiculous, yeah.
And the one more thing I'll throw in about super multitasking. I plan to take full advantage of the Steam support. I haven't actually done any of this yet, but I've planned it. I want to go full bore. Steam Cloud saves, leaderboards for every possible difficulty combination in bonus mode and the challenge speed run, a full set of achievements that reward experimentation as well as achievement, and a set of Steam trading cards depicting all of the different ways that Mr. Multitasking can die.
It sounds like a lofty project, and I wish you luck, my friend. I've been begging you to finish this game for a while, and of course I know you have your own life to live, and you don't make all your money off these games. But I'm really excited.
Labor of love.
Yeah, I know. So,
and it'll be priced that way too. I'm looking at probably somewhere in the $3 to $5 range.
Well, that's honestly a steal.
And also, because these games live and die by word of mouth, I don't know if this is possible. I'm going to ask Valve if I can't find anything about it. But what I'm hoping for is that I can do this. For the first few weeks of release, I'm planning, when you buy the game, you will get a second giftable copy of it for free. And then you're encouraged to give that wow. to your friends, to your enemies, your favorite streamer, you know, anybody.
I've seen them do like those two packs before for other games. So it's got to be possible. So you may have to price like a two pack at $5 or something, or make it like super attractable type of price. But
I'd price it the same as the single and then just offer it for a limited time.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's what they did with stuff that, you know, again, really encourages the multiplayer stuff like Gauntlet or something. Or there was something I bought for copies of, and I gave it to a bunch of people I knew.
Gauntlet, maybe? They had Gauntlet.
It might have been Gauntlet or something. I don't remember what it was.
There was Screen.
I thought it was Terraria.
It was Terraria. Thank you. You're right. It was Terraria. Because they were selling the four-pack super cheap, and I think I gave you one. I gave Shane one. So I gave a bunch of people Terraria at one point. Yeah. So.
And, yeah. So.
Well, congratulations in advance. I'm really looking forward to seeing Super Multitasking. I know you're going to have a bunch of fun at the conventions and so forth. So Falling Plus on itch.io is going to be first in the next few weeks, right?
I basically want to be able to sell that at the convention because, you know, due to the nature of Xbox Live indie games, the fact that you can't generate extra keys, you can't sell it outside of Xbox.com or the console itself.
Sure.
Basically, for the first time, I want there to be something that I can actually sell at the convention.
Nice.
So that's why I would be trying to release it over the next couple of weeks. And then Super Multitasking right behind.
Well, if I maybe bat my eyelashes and wink enough, maybe you'll hook me up and I can do a stream of that after OLR, like the Sunday before it's out or something, a little sneak peek.
You know what? If I have that capability, you definitely will have it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That'll be awesome. All right. Well, YYR, I do have to get back to the rest of what we're doing on our show, but I got to ask, there's anything else you want to mention about what's going on in your world or anything with the gaming or what types of games you've been playing or anything?
Nah. Well, I haven't been playing much, but we found Box Boy on 3DS recently, and it's great. If you're still on your 3DS, I definitely recommend it.
Didn't they just do like the third in that series just came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they released a demo, which is a really good sampling of the series. So I would definitely recommend that. And on mobile, I'm also playing a game called Cats, C-A-T-S. I think it stands for Crash Arena Turbo Stars. It's by Zepto Lab.
I was like, did you really just have to tell us how to spell cats? Okay, yeah. I get it. It's like an acronym.
It's an acronym, not the name.
Yeah.
And basically, it's BattleBots. It's basically BattleBots, and you create your own bot, and you put it up against other players' bots. And the fights all happen within like 3 seconds. And it's a fun time waster.
Oh,
and then,
yes,
you know,
I have seen that. I saw like a little trailer of that. Like it was one of the ads I had to watch or whatever in my little clicker game thing. But it looked pretty fun.
It is pretty fun. And it's not a game that you're going to have to spend any money on. Like,
that's good.
It's really just to speed up things that are inconsequential. Otherwise, it's just something you'll go back to a few times a day and have a little fun with. I definitely recommend that. And
all right, I need something to replace that fucking Magikarp game, so I'm going to check that out right now, because anything that gets me away from fucking Magikarp, even though I just finally on my 18th generation caught a gold one.
Yay!
I haven't played it yet.
Stay away. You'll thank me later. Anyway.
I'll just mention one other thing.
Oh.
I know I'm very busy, obviously, but I would like to, because everyone at work, everyone I talk to, and every time I like, you know, do some sort of crazy voice, they say, oh, are you doing any voiceovers? Do you do any voiceovers? Do you do any voice acting? People keep asking me this, and well, I figured maybe I'll dip my toes in that pool a little bit. So, coming soon, cheapvoiceacting.com.
This is a venture that you're going into here to do voice acting on the side?
Yeah, just on the side. I'm not going to intend to replace any professional voice actor or, you know, whatever, but I figure if there's an indie developer who doesn't have, you know, a $20,000 budget and wants a little voice acting in their game, they can send $50 my way and I can send them back some speech, that kind of thing.
I feel like that's a business venture I should get in on too, because that's something I could do on the side too. So maybe if...
Just be careful dealing with the Voice Actors Guild.
this would be, it sounds like the way YYR is putting it, would be for indie developers. It's not going to be for something like EA.
I would be very forthcoming in saying this is not a replacement for a professional voice actor.
Right.
This is if you can't afford those things and just want to, you know, get by with what I've got.
Indie focused, very different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to pretend to be a professional. Also, it's not going to be very fast turnaround either. So,
all right.
And if anybody happens to be in the Philadelphia area, Too Many Games is June 23rd through 25th. It's $50 for the whole weekend. And if you manage to beat my challenge speedrun in an hour, I'll give you $100.
Wow.
Well, how else am I going to get people to test the challenge mode?
You better make sure it's a one-time only thing, just because you might get some crazy people to figure out how to crack the code, and then you're paying out a lot of money. So
one try per day. That'll be the only restriction.
There you go. Awesome. All right, YYR, best of luck to you, and we'll let everybody know when Falling Plus comes out, and then Super Multitasking after that.
Thanks very much for having me on, and hey, keep doing what you're doing.
Sounds good. Will do. You do the same.
I plan to. All right. Take care, guys.
Take care, my friend.
Yep, bye-bye.
All right, always good to catch up with YYR and the man who's made many OLR dreams come alive and crushed a few, too. No, I'm just kidding. Mostly the good stuff. Mostly the good stuff. Anyway, we're going to take your calls a little later on in the show over at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But first, we got some more news we got to get through. We got to get to emails and all that good stuff. So we're going to start with some rapid-fire news going to Loki.
All right, so Overwatch is getting some updates soon. They're going to be doing some balancing with McCree Reaper and Roadhog. So with McCree, they're going to be tweaking basically his Deadeye Ultimate, dropping the lock-on time to 0.2 seconds instead of 0.8. Also, they're going to be increasing the damage from 20 to 80 over the first second. For Roadhog, they're going to be reducing the size of the hitbox of his head, and they're also going to be dropping the damage of his gun by 33%, but his rate of fire is going to increase by 30%. Mainly, they're saying that's to stop his, you know, hook scrap gun combo, which I did find that it's pretty strong. You know, I killed a lot of things that way. And then, of course, they're saying also that they're going to be adding the Oni, Genji, and Officer D.Va legendary skins that were originally exclusive to the Heroes of the Storm boxes that they had, but now those are going to be introduced to the standard loot boxes, so you can get those if you missed out on them during that event. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, they were also showing off the Horizon Lunar Collie Assault map, which is going to be a new map that's hitting test servers as well. And then, of course, LEGO Dimensions still going incredibly strong. They have some new properties going to be coming in September. So on September 12th, you can see new sets based off the Powerpuff Girls, Teen Titans Go, and Beetlejuice. I got it.
Ooh, Beetlejuice.
A LEGO Beetlejuice looks pretty cool.
Don't say it again.
LEGO Beetlejuice. Yeah.
Ah, no, he's summoned.
So it's pretty awesome. Yeah, so the Teen Titans Go stuff, I'm not sure who these characters are. I mean, it looks kind of neat. And then, of course, you know, the Powerpuff Girls and the Beetlejuice one is pretty cool. They've got Beetlejuice and a sandworm. So those are pretty cool. I kind of want that. But yeah, September 12th. I kind of want to get LEGO Dimensions, but dude, it's that fucking LEGO price point, man. It is so expensive for those things. Otherwise, I'd probably buy them all, but it's LEGO pricing, and so I can't afford to buy them all.
All right, well, let's move on to talk about the E3 event. And Sony is doing something that they've done for the past couple years, where they are doing a big Sony broadcast around, not just, of course, on Twitch and the stuff that you can watch at home, but in theaters across the U.S. and Canada. Apparently, over 85 theaters are being in this event. And, you know, they've done this before, so it's not like it's new. But, you know, when they've done it before, they sometimes have some little Sony trinkets that they give away and giveaway bags and all that. And you get to see these trailers on the big screen, which is really worth it for a lot of people as well. So the PlayStation E3 experience is returning for 2017. I do know the tickets already went up, I think, on May 30th. They went through a new vendor called GoFobo, which I'd never heard of before, and apparently it didn't go well. I heard a lot of talk on Twitter about it's not so great. I didn't try for it because I think the timing doesn't work out because I still have to work on Monday. And in years past, the closest place is San Francisco anyway. I can't get
there. Yeah,
it
was
fast,
like Pleasanton or something like that. So, I'm like, no.
That's fine. I'll watch it on my TV at home as I always have. But for those that want the theater experience, and you know, sometimes feeding off that crowd energy kind of gets people even more amped up. So cool.
You know where it'd be really cool to like feed off that crowd energy and watch it is PlayStation Home.
Maybe that'll come back in VR. You never know.
That would be cool. I'd be down.
Well, one of the things I think that got spoiled ahead of E3 is the full Marvel versus Capcom Infinite roster. Again, of course, they've done a reveal trailer so far, but some of the fighters in this game have already been leaked out there. Apparently, there are 27 of them. I'm not going to read the entire list here because, again, we don't know anything until really Capcom confirms it. But it does sound like the X-Men are out, as we probably anticipated, and some of the more deep cuts with Capcom are apparently out as well. For example, Beautiful Joe is not there, Phoenix Wright is not there, but Monster Hunter is. So there
are
some.
Well, with a lot of those like things, what they're trying to do with this is they're going to go the multi-season route with it. So they're going to put out like certain characters for DLC now and then. Like they're going to do a second season where they may add some more of these other characters. I kind of wish they were all available from the get-go, but I understand that they want to do balancing and stuff. I don't know, and it's all seems like a lot of it's just the Marvel Cinematic stuff based on the characters that they have available.
Yeah. So there it is. The whole Marvel versus Capcom list is floating around out there. I'm sure some of you guys have already seen it. Again, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's a very fair sampling of what's been going on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe as of late as well. In fact, for better or for worse. But some people really not happy about the lack of X-Men characters, but I kind of thought that was already going to be a given about this game. We kind of knew that going into this.
Yeah, I kind of figured it would be.
So I'm not sure why suddenly people are surprised. Maybe they were hoping for a last minute
thing. Hoping for Deadpool again.
Yeah, maybe. All right, moving on. Darksakura.
Well, in other news, we have Deiken Sensetsu, some news. Basically, there's something been teased that's new for the series. It was said by Masaru Oyamada, who had a few things to say about it in his interview with Famitsu. Especially that they'd like to make sure that the old Deiken Sensetsu games can be appreciated by younger players. And looking at graphic uprising from what I can see on here, and he wants to take the opportunity to announce a new development among around the 25th anniversary of the series. So who knows, we maybe see something else. Also, legendary Pokemon and PvP are coming to Pokemon Go this summer, so basically you can finally have your on the spot dueling and legendary, so that you don't have to, crash actual Pokemon Center events. You can just follow the news from Niantic, and that's it.
You just crash their servers instead.
Right?
All the people playing.
Who needs servers anyway? Just crash them all.
I'm curious to see how they're going to do that. Because one of the things I know they quoted on there is like they've learned a lot about like the social interaction stuff with Ingress, and I'm curious to see how they're going to integrate that with Pokemon, because to be honest, right now, there is no game. I mean,
it's collecting for
no
me.
No competitive game.
Yeah, I really want to see what happens with the whole
gym. You see, with these gyms, you're going to make these links from one gym to the next.
No,
and you're gonna...
No. But even I'm like when it comes to Ingress, I'm like, yeah, I mean, the community stuff is still cool, and it's nice that they're bringing back some of the live events, and I can probably get into some of those. But like the day-to-day stuff is kind of like, and kind of just over it. Like, I don't know. It'll be nice when there's a 2.0 to kind of shake things up and make feel fresh again. And I think I can kind of say the same thing about Pokemon, is that when you re-up the gym game and have more of a point to the collecting and all that stuff, there will be that. So, anyway. All right, let's move on. We're going to travel around the world and check out what is in stores this week as far as releases go. Loki, how about the U.S.?
Yes, we do have a few things coming out this week. So starting off with Cloudon Returns, this is Sengoku. That's going to be on PC, PlayStation 4, and the Vita. We have Dark Rose Valkyrie on PlayStation 4. Dirt 4 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Farming Simulator 18 on 3DS and the Vita.
Farting Simulator. No.
No, not Farting Simulator. Farting Simulator 18, I'm sure, is already on Steam. I'm pretty sure that's already a thing. Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale series, Episode 2, Under Pressure, is going to be coming out this week on PC, Mac, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, iOS, and Android. This is pretty interesting. Wipeout Omega Collection on PlayStation 4. And then finally, Super Beat Zonic on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
As if you add a Z, it makes it edgier.
It's not a Z. It's an X, actually.
Oh, that
it's
makes
even
it
even edgier.
Edgier.
All right, we're going to travel over to Japan and check out what's coming out for those release dates on the... What is the big day for releases there? I think the 9th is the next big release day. Although I'm not really seeing anything Japan on the 9th. Do we not have anything big coming out on the PlayStation 4 in Japan? Maybe not. At least not on the PS4 this week. Yeah, the next big thing I see is Stormblood for Final Fantasy XIV on the 20th, but I'm not really seeing anything in Japan, at least earlier in the month. Let me see if there's something on Nintendo that might be the reason why. No, the Alliance Alive is out on June the 22nd in Japan on the 3DS, and on the Switch, ARMS is out on June 16th, but it doesn't look like we have anything out a little earlier here. I'm not sure if there's any... I take that back. We have a Vita game. We have a lone Vita game on June the 8th. Shiro To Kuro no Alice is out in regular and limited edition. A lone game.
The game system that Sony has forgotten about.
Not there.
Only one that's getting games.
Not there. Yeah. It's much different in Japan than it is here. So, you know, you take your Xbox One racks here and replace them with the Vita. That's basically what Japan is a little more like. So, I don't know if there's a cultural reason, if it might do... When's like the school year there? Do they have...
Year-round.
It's year-round? So it's not even like a finals thing or anything? That's weird.
There's like a summer break, but school pretty much is year-round.
Hmm. Interesting. Maybe because of E3. I don't know. Anyway, how about the UK?
On the 7th, we have Wipeout Omega Collection for PS4. And then on the 8th, Dirt 4 for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That's it.
All right, let's head on over to the mailbag.
Okay, wait, there's a game coming out in the next week, but I think the name is funny.
What?
It's Pixel Heroes Bite and Magic, as in Might and Magic.
Yeah, Bite and Magic.
That's cute.
All right, let's go to the mailbag. Every week you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and you can participate with the show.
All right, this email comes from Tiger Tooth. Hello. Actually, we have two emails from him, but I will read them both because one of them's super short. Hello, OLR. I'm a long-time listener, first-time emailer. Yay! Level up. I believe I first started listening to your show when I was in eighth grade, and I'm now about to graduate from high school. Oh, I feel old. During my first week of high school, my history teacher had us make time capsule letters so that we wouldn't get back until the end of our senior year. The time capsule letters was a series of questions that we could write honest responses to because no one but ourselves were supposed to see them. Well, with final exams and graduation around the corner, he gave them back to us. I'm reading through it, astonished at how bad my spelling was, laughing at the jokes I threw in it, when suddenly I see an OLR reference. The question was, I dislike blank because blank. And my obscure ass put, I dislike Britney Spears because I think she is a skank. And O-R-L is what it said. I chuckled to myself after reading this and suddenly found myself at a loss for where this came from. Obviously, it's an OLR reference, but who and why said it? I feel like it was Dark Sakura, but I could totally see Rob saying this too.
Okay. This show is so old. I don't remember things that happened on this show 3 weeks ago. If I didn't have Dark Tetsuya and some of the other longtime OLR listeners like Misty and folks and the wiki and all that, I wouldn't know what happened on this show a year ago and so forth. So I think that's hilarious that you wrote a note that kind of came back. One thing I do recall, though, is let's not forget Britney Spears went through her whole little meltdown phase around that time before Blackout came out. And I think there were probably a lot of people saying that sort of thing about her. But you know what? Britney's, my opinion on her, will say, has evolved a lot because she's an awesome ally for did you see that letter that she wrote? She handwrote for her LGBT fans on June 1st to kick off Pride Month, and I thought that was awesome. And so, like, you know, all Britney wants to do is raise her kids. Like, Britney, and I think I...
And she can afford wigs and weaves.
I do seem to recall we had a conversation like this before. I don't even know if it was on this show or another show, but I want to say you said something like, all Britney Spears wants to do is live in a trailer in the back part of Alabama or wherever she's from.
Louisiana,
and raise her kids. Like, she didn't want all this celebrity stuff. It just kind of happened to her. And I tend to agree with that, that she does all this stuff and does the lip syncs on stage to music that's really, really produced and all this stuff because she wants to make a good life for her kids. Mm-hmm. So you know what? I got no reason to hate on Britney Spears anymore. Well. And I'm sorry if I ever said anything to hurt her feelings.
Besides that, Derek Barry can do it for her. I don't think Loki would have an opinion on the matter, but who knows? Also, how did the subject come up? LOL. Anyways, thought you would like to know that you made it into a capsule letter from some random kid on the other side of the country.
No, that I do get a kick out of. Even if I have no idea what the heck this was all about, I do love that story. So thank you for sharing.
That's
that.
Right. We have our time capsule,
we
too.
We do have our time capsule. It's waiting for December to come around, the holiday episode. All right. Awesome.
Well, also, did I say I live in Western New York, by the way? Sincerely, Tiger Tooth. P.S. Sorry if there is any grammar errors. P.P.S. I took a selfie on a teacup when I went to Disney World a month ago. Bring back Hoardhouse. Hashtag bring back Hoardhouse. I listened to that show from about episode 80 until the bitter end. I still think of Pepper, Thyme, and Mint and Rob's laugh whenever I listen to the Spice Girls.
That was a great in-joke from Hoardhouse. Sadly, it's just one of those things where I think we've all moved on just creatively, and we're not really playing MMOs anymore. I know you want it? You want the show? You can take over, Dark Saga.
Okay.
So when I say we all, of course, I mean myself, Extrover, Shane, and Grandpa. But the cool thing is, just about everybody from those days is still podcasting. You can hear Grandpa as Captain Matt on Starboard Power Coupling, which is here on Vogue. Shane does Ranger Pride, which is here on Vogue with Captain Spike. And Extifer and I, we were doing Guys on a Show. I do not consider that, like, Pokestop podcast is done. Like, that show's not coming back. Guys on a Show is still, for me, on a hiatus and will be back. Just that Extifer hasn't really been able to commit to a regular recording schedule that gels with mine. I don't want to put all the blame on him. That gels with my schedule as well. So we just haven't really been able to bring that back, but we do have ideas, and, like, creatively we kind of know what we want to do with that. So I do still strongly feel Guys on a Show will come back at some point. And that's pretty much everybody from the Hoardhouse days. But as far as that, I mean, we all stopped playing Warcraft except for Grandpa, I think, still dabbles in it.
I've seen him on sometimes.
Yeah, but...
But I'm pretty much there by myself in good old Danger Squad.
Oh, even Captain Spike and Slykick stopped playing over there?
That's too bad. I don't really see them that much.
That's too bad. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, it didn't... The show never really recovered from the shift away from Warcraft because it just got too broad. So we just weren't able to make it work anymore, so... But I have some good memories, and they're all still my friends. So you never know what might happen. There might be a reunion around another topic someday.
Well, there's another addendum in the form of another email. Keep up the awesome work. You guys never fail to entertain me when I'm doing mundane chores. Are you doing laundry right now? You guys help get my mind off things during stressful times, and you guys are way better than WoW background music. LOL. Sincerely, Tiger Tooth.
And don't forget to separate your whites and your colors.
Unless you just wash all that shit on cold like I do.
But the whites will be whiter if you just wash them.
You know
separately.
What? White's already too damn white. I had to go there.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you wish to send us an email for the future. In the meantime, we have more news to get into, starting with Loki.
Yes. So this is kind of unexpected, but apparently the Kerbal Space Program they announced that, I guess, the game has been acquired by Take-Two Interactive. So they're not, they're saying that it's not really going to change much, that the squad and current development team is still here and hard to work on KSP and its future updates, but we are now fortunate enough to do so with the help of an experienced publisher like Take-Two, and we couldn't be more excited and happy to see our conjoint collaboration, or see where our conjoint collaboration will take KSP forward. So that's pretty awesome. And yeah, it is kind of interesting to see how that works out. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that means a sequel. Who knows? I have this installed on my computer. I've honestly played it for about 5 minutes, and that's been kind of it, but maybe I need to go back.
It didn't hold your interest at all?
I don't know. I didn't really get too experimental with making ships and stuff, but there's a lot of people that have made pretty crazy things with it. It might be something worth checking out. I think while I was prepping the show, my son saw this and he's like, "What's that?" And I'm like, and I had to explain to him what it was, and he seemed interested, so maybe it might be something that I can think about playing later on. But
one of my buddies was really into this game, and the physics of it were very interesting.
I didn't realize that they released it on console, but apparently it says that it's on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Yeah, they put it on PS4 at some point. I apologize because I had to step out for just a minute, but with this whole Kerbal Space Program and the Take-Two and stuff, is it like, are we gearing up for a sequel at E3? Like, is this putting all the...
I don't know.
You would think an acquisition like that is setting things up for a sequel. I don't know.
You would think. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but it's neat.
Well, now I hope this is something that's leading into E3, and it's Bayonetta 3. Yes, that's right. I really want Bayonetta 3 to happen. And, you know, there was an interview that Source Gaming did with Atsushi Inaba from Platinum Games. And, of course, they asked, you know, they're trying to kind of like, you know, not say confirm Bayonetta 3. But they said, if Bayonetta 3 were to ever happen, would Bayonetta still be the protagonist, or would you try to surprise fans? And the answer was, maybe there would be a male Bayonetta.
Male-netta?
Why not?
It should be called Bayonet.
Why not? I think that would be hilarious. And says, I would like to make Bayonetta 3. We're talking within the company even now about what to do. But because we're constantly talking about it, that actually makes it really hard to say. If we weren't talking about it, we could just say something random or offhand, you know. But because we're actually talking about it, of course, that's just something that you talk about when you're making a series. Do you want to keep the same protagonist? There's plenty of precedent for changing protagonists. And so that is something we discuss. Do we want to keep the same one, have a different one, add new ones? But that's certainly not anything I can say for sure at this point. Well, that was kind of the runaround there at the end there. But I love this. I love folks in our chat room here. Dungeon Buster says Boyonetta, and Tiger Claw says Broanetta. So there's some answers there. Why not? I whatever they want to do creatively, as long as it's as fun as the first two games, I would be so about that. So I do hope a Bayonetta 3 is in the works. I hope the quiet reception to Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U, just because the Wii U was the Wii U, doesn't ruin our chances. So fingers and toes crossed. We'll see, though, in about a little over a week.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase liquid.
In the meantime, Dark Sakura.
Well, just leave it to the ratings board to spoil shit for us again. There is a leak from the ratings board that talks about Minecraft Story Mode Season 2. Well, okay, technically this was in Australia, but hey. It's called Hero in Residence. It was labeled as multi-platform, which would match the 11 different device releases that we got with the previous one, including the upcoming Switch release. So, yeah. Well, it's not quite Minecraft 2 like you were saying at the beginning, but hey.
It is a Minecraft Part 2, yeah, but it's a little different.
It's its own thing, I guess.
Story Mode's a Telltale game. It's just in the Minecraft universe.
It was
all right.
I played the first episode of it, and it was okay. I mean, that's my first Telltale game, so which is awesome.
Was it really?
Well, I own a lot of them. I just haven't played a lot of them. So.
Make time to play Walking Dead. It's good.
Maybe, yeah. It's good. I still want to go through Sam and Max and Back to the Future series. And
I even like the Jurassic Park ones. Like, I know a lot of people hated on those, but I thought that was fun. So whatever. Of course, I don't know. The Telltale stuff kind of is like a throwback to me of the, like the older PC
games.
For
Game of Thrones, I know they did a Game of Thrones one, didn't they? Maybe interesting. I don't know. But yeah. So one game I forgot to mention that I played during my game week this week was Grand Theft Auto 5. And of course, part of that I didn't play was Grand Theft Auto Online. I still have been kind of wary to go back into it because so much has changed. I don't think I'll be able to figure out where... what to do because there's just so much out there. But one of the new things that one of the comments around that, I guess they had their financial meeting or something like that. But Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick, he had spoken to, I guess, GameStop regarding his stance on microtransactions and how they relate to Grand Theft Auto Online, and basically saying, you know, you can't give stuff away for free in perpetuality. There's no business model in that, which, you know, basically that makes sense. We're convinced that we are probably, from an industry view, under monetizing on a per user basis. But we're not trying to optimize the monetization of everything we do. We do to the nth degree. My concern is if you do that, the consumer knows. They might not even know that, they may not even know that they know, but they feel it. There is wood to chop because I think we can do more. I think we can do more without interfering with our business strategy and being the most creative about our ethical approach, which is delighting consumers. We're not going to grab the last nickel. It's respectable. They do give out a lot of content for free. However, there's a lot of stuff that is revolving. I mean, this is back from when I played Grand Theft Auto Online quite a bit, several years ago. There's a lot of that goes around money in the game. Like, they used to have it where you have to buy insurance for your vehicles, and if they get destroyed by another player, you have to pay money to fix your car. You know, unnecessary realities, I guess, of, you know, in the game. I mean, that's not necessarily a fun thing, but it's just something that, you know, it's another thing to spend money on in the game. And it, I don't know, like I said, it's been a while
You just started playing Overwatch, right? This is something they love to do in that.
Overwatch is mostly just skin crap. That's all stuff. And there's a lot of, like, customization stuff you can buy in Grand Theft Auto with the in-game money, but that's all stuff you can earn by doing missions and stuff. It's just, if you don't want to wait to do all that stuff,
right,
you can get their shark cards and, you know, bypass all that. But they certainly give you a lot of stuff. I feel that for what they, you know, they put out there for free, the content, there's a lot of it. So I'm not saying that they're pulling the whole free-to-play stunt on it, but I think you get a lot of value for, you know, Grand Theft Auto Online. Plus, you have Grand Theft Auto 5, which is a fantastic game altogether, and you got that for free, basically. So, I mean, I understand where he's saying that there's probably more stuff they can monetize for, but as long as they don't do it in a way that's, like, feels cheap. And like I said, it's been a while since I played it, so hopefully it seems that a lot of the stuff that's coming out now is more of that, ooh, I really want to have that because that's cool, and not, ugh, I got to pay money for a mechanic to stay around every single day and rent for my apartment and all that stuff, and that's kind of lame. But I don't know. We'll see what that's like. But it sounds like, I mean, so far it's been all right.
All right. Well, one more story for you guys, and we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio. And this is a series that's near and dear to our hearts here at Orange Lounge Radio. It's the River City Ransom series. And, River City's getting a new game, actually, coming out in the 3DS eShop. River City Knights of Justice. Now, here's the thing. This game actually came out in Japan way back April 2014. This game originally came out. It is finally coming to North America and Europe this summer, well over 3 years after the fact. Wow. In Japan, this game was called Neketsu Maho Monogatari on the 3DS eShop, and now we're going to get it. Yay, it's a 3DS eShop exclusive, meaning there's no retail copy available. This is where Kunio and his friends go medieval. So you get heroes and villains.
Yeah,
it
looks just like Dragon Quest.
It's kind of like, it's like that whole world meets a fantasy game.
I'm kind of down with like a River City Ransom game set in like a Dragon Quest universe. That'd be pretty cool.
Magic to bring peace back to Riverandia. Definitely a plot right out of those games, right? I hope there's something that cures barf. Remember in the NES game, you punch the enemies, they go barf. That was always the funniest thing when I was younger. I don't know. It probably still is funny. Have you ever made your kids play River City Ransom?
No. They have never played that.
You should have them check it out and see if they laugh when barf comes up on the screen. Anyway.
I don't think they know what the word barf means. Well,
you should teach them.
They know.
Bring them over. Spend some time with Uncle Rob. Uncle Rob will teach them all
the
swear words.
They know what throw up means. I mean, I'm sure it's pretty easy for them.
All right. Again, River City Knights of Justice. It's going to be at E3, actually. The Natsume booth will have this. So you can check that out. Or you can watch the various YouTubes of the Japanese version that's already out there if you want to check that out. So. All right. I hope this series finds its way. What do they call all these the characters? Kunio, is that what it's called? The whole series?
Kunio-kun,
that's it. I hope this series makes its way to Switch one way or another. Like, you know, I know they did like an All-Stars game on 3DS that like kind of brought the Dodgeball and the River City Ransom worlds together. But man, that Dodgeball game, that was one of my favorite arcade games they ever did back in the day. Was that Kunio? It was on the Neo Geo, right? The Dodgeball game? Wasn't that a Neo Geo? Originally, I know they did a version on the NES, but I feel like there was a version in the arcade I played. So, Dark Tetsuya agrees with me there. Yeah, totally need a Switch version of Kunio. Agree. Skype line is open. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you want to give us a call to talk about anything we might have touched on tonight, or perhaps we missed it, and you want to let us know. You can do that. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. While we wait to see if anybody takes advantage of that tonight, Loki, let me check in with you. Do you have any last-minute stories for us?
Yes, there's been leaks already of stuff that Sony's going to be announcing, including a brand-new PlayStation 4 system that's going to be gold-colored. Coming out June 9th. They already have pictures of it.
Big deal.
Yeah.
A gold PS4. What's special about it?
It's gold.
Here's my question. Is it a pro?
No, it's not.
See, I feel like, oh, God damn it, Sony.
$249 for 1 terabyte model.
Okay, again, it's rumor, so...
It's not rumor. I see a picture of it right here.
Oh, so like...
Target or Walmart or something that got it, and they took a picture of it. Looks like Walmart based off the price.
So...
It's not on the internet, so it must be true.
Well, no, it's a box in a Walmart. It's in their case. Yeah. Locked up.
So they're planning on doing one of those, it's available today type of things.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, you know, whatever.
Well, actually, technically, it would be coming out on... Before E3, it would be coming out on the 9th, so... Yeah,
interesting. But I just isn't it weird that it's not a pro? So Sony's kind of already taken a step back from that.
Yeah,
that should have been on my list of things I want to see from Sony at E3. Is like, give me more of this pro thing, because this is really starting to become a pet peeve when it comes to Sony. I am really having trust issues with Sony peripherals, and this is a big reason why I haven't plunked the money down on VR, because I feel really burned by PlayStation 4 Pro. And, you know, this has happened with the Vita. This has happened with the Move. This has happened with, I want to say the PSP, but I suppose that's, they tried with the PSP a lot longer than other devices, to be fair.
Yeah, they had,
so I can't really pick on them for that. But it seems like as of recent, like Sony really, the TV, the PlayStation TV thing.
Oh yeah,
they ran the hell away from that too.
3D.
So, I'm getting really concerned with how fast Sony is backtracking on these peripherals. And they do need to be, you know, if we're going to be critical of Nintendo and all this stuff too, we need to be critical of Sony when they are making missteps too. And this is one of them for me. This whole backtracking on the peripherals.
Know. I mean, this is just one picture. I mean, they could have a pro model that's available as well. We don't know. I mean,
that's fair enough.
I mean, right now, I'm assuming they probably don't, or it could be a different color, or who knows.
Okay,
I mean,
that's fair.
Could have it available, but at the very least, we're going to get a different color PlayStation 4 system, which honestly doesn't look that great. It's gold. I mean, it kind of looks cheap.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, that would be cool if I didn't already own one, but, well, maybe with the announcement that they're ending PlayStation 3 production, this is the time to entice people to jump into that. I don't know. SSJ100 Matt in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, feels like Sony has worst kept secret leak before each E3, but they do somehow keep some things.
It's a very minor thing.
Yeah. Especially, well, if that's already on shelves June 9th, then it isn't really an E3 anything. It's more one of those, they want to get it on shelves because of the hype E3 might build. Like, there might be something they're going to show that make people go, oh, we need to go out and get a PlayStation 4 because this is going to be on it. And so they want it to be on the shelves. Like, that part I kind of get. Anyway, we are getting a call on the phone, so I want to get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Akdeft.
Hey, Akdeft. How you doing?
Pretty great.
Good.
Doing fine.
What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, I want to talk about Nintendo and its voice chat options for the Switch.
Please, what's your take? We talked ad nauseum about it. What's your take on it?
Well, like I said in chat, I do see Loki's point. It seems overly complicated to Nintendo to do this, but at the same time, I see some practicality from it. Because since the Switch is a portable console, and you're not necessarily gonna be playing on the TV, having your smartphone pretty much everywhere you go, it's like something that, okay, you can use this instead of hooking everything up to the console. So that's... I see it more like a practical thing, but yeah, Nintendo...
Thank
does seem
you.
To overcomplicate things.
No, thank you so much, ActDef, because you reminded me of something big, and I really wish I'd thought of this when Loki and I were debating this earlier. But thank you, thank you, thank you. You reminded me of why. You're right. It's the Switch's portability issue, and they didn't want to charge more money by putting a 3G thing in the Switch like the Vita used, LOL, not very well, that whole thing. That's what they're doing to get around data so you can do voice chat when you're on the go, is that by doing it on your phone, then the Switch doesn't have to have that component built into it, making the system cost more money. Thank you, Deft. I wish I'd thought of that earlier.
And to counter that,
okay,
if it has to be tethered to the phone anyways because it needs to have data in order to play multiplayer, why still can't the voice chat go through the system and not a separate app?
But
technically, we still don't know exactly how it's going to work. It may be an option, so maybe.
Well, we'll see. Again, I still feel like debating this is a little early. I mean, it doesn't stop the internet from doing it anyway. Like, I know some of y'all Nintendo fans get needled by what Loki says, but he ain't saying nothing that other people ain't already saying.
Well, here's the thing.
Places
like,
around
I'd
the internet.
Be fine if it was a separate app to do, like, if you want to schedule stuff. Like, say you don't have your Switch with you. You're at work doing something, and some friend's like, hey, I want to play a game later. And you go, okay, I'm going to schedule something. And then you go home, and then you can do that. And the app works
And it's all
it.
Set up magically.
And that would be fine. But to require you to use your phone for it seems stupid. That's the thing. I don't know. Whatever.
Maybe
they're going to do whatever they're going
to
do.
Maybe it's to force people into the app so that becomes commonplace. Because what good is it to go in and schedule something if the other people are like, oh, I don't use that app because I'm not required to?
Well, don't build an app then.
I don't know. We'll see.
The thing, it's also that many people use other voice chat apps for voice chat. We see Discord, we see Skype, even Google Hangouts. So I again, do not see the big issue here or the big problem. Again, Nintendo's overly complicating things, but at the same time, I see the practicality in it. So that's my take on it.
Well, this is something we're certainly going to revisit in about... Well, in 2 weeks' time, basically, on the 15-year anniversary episode, when we know what Nintendo's going to say about this whole thing. I mean, there is the very, very realistic possibility they may not address the whole voice chat thing in their presentation. However, with the hours and hours of Treehouse that they're doing, I do expect this topic to come up at some point, especially with Splatoon 2 coming out in July, and they do want to sell that game. I feel like Nintendo is going to have to start to peel back. What is this going to look like? Because it's very important for Splatoon 2. Yes, we know you're going to be able to play online, and it's obviously going to be free now until 2018 because of the delay of Nintendo Online. But, you know, what does Splatoon 2 look like 6 months from now when you're scheduling events and all this stuff? I do think Nintendo kind of has to answer that question. If it's not in the main presentation, at least maybe a demo during the Treehouse, because they're going to have so many hours to fill during Treehouse, and you know they're going to push ARMS and they're going to push Splatoon 2 during Treehouse. They have to. Those are the big games over the summer that they want people to go out and buy.
Yeah, especially Splatoon 2. That's going to be a really, really big game.
And it's so funny because we were talking about this whole ARMS and esports and all this stuff. And honestly, if anything Nintendo should be esports, it ought to be Splatoon.
They've already asserted that it's going to be with their stupid trailer that showed this big esports arena. Everybody playing on their Switch and hunky-dory. I mean, they've already solidified it's going to be esports.
I think it could be with Splatoon.
Well, they're going to have their tournament thing, invitational for Splatoon 2.
They are.
They're going to have
they're making their own esports.
Splatoon teams.
But to be fair, I mean, as critical as, you know, Loki's being, and I am being to a point of this whole thing, this isn't that different from what Blizzard does. Blizzard also puts together their own events for their own games, and they're taking it even bigger with this whole Overwatch League thing. So you can't say this is something unique to Nintendo, although I do agree there has to be some sort of adoption by the community, but at the same time also kind of look what's happening to Street Fighter V. You know, Street Fighter V seemed to be this very logical, like, this is going to be the next big thing. And I think it is being adopted to a point, but Street Fighter V is kind of, in some ways, Street Fighter V is kind of, I don't want to say flopped, but it's not hit that level that you would expect of a Street Fighter franchise game.
Yeah, definitely not the same as a Street Fighter IV.
Exactly. Now, games can, we live in this very strange day and age now where games can be resurrected. Diablo 3, Final Fantasy 14.
Look at Street Fighter 5. The reason, I mean, look at why it didn't take off. It's because it was released unfinished.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree.
Let all the publishers realize, hey, if you release your game unfinished, probably not going to be taken too well.
I don't disagree.
Especially when
that.
You're asking for a finished price.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
I kind of disagree on that, but it was unfinished, but the game, when it came out, it worked flawlessly. At least the gameplay itself, it was perfect. But yeah, I don't understand the point.
All right. Well, ActDev, do you have anything else you want to share?
No, I will call you in 2 weeks, I think.
All right, sounds good. Can't wait for it. All right, take care, my friend.
Okay,
bye.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. Bye-bye. All right, we'll see. We'll see if anybody else wants to sneak in there real quick. Otherwise, we'll wrap things up. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Post show tonight, I'm going to stream Mario Kart 8 because I've been promising that for like 2 weeks, and finally, I'm going to do it tonight. So hopefully, some of y'all will be online to race with me. I'm not going to set up a formal tournament because last time I did that, we ran into issues. So this time, I'm just going to see what happens if I do multiplayer, and hopefully, there aren't more people that want to play than can. But we'll see what happens. It's going to be a learning experience, one way or the other. I have a bad feeling we might run into the opposite problem that we do with tournaments, but we'll see. We're going to have fun, no matter what. We're going to play Mario Kart. We're going to have fun.
Yeah, and they also show the it's in a Target ad too. So. It's definitely coming. They're saying it's $50 off for $249.99. They're also selling the controller separately.
Of course they are. Because the controllers must be separate from the machine you have to use them on.
Well, no. I mean, if you want additional gold controllers, you can buy them separately.
So what's funny is that now that I do have two PlayStation 4 controllers, because a friend gave us one for Christmas, so we have a red controller too, I find it's really funny. Like, I keep one plugged into the PlayStation charging, and then I use the other one, and then the minute the battery thing starts flashing, I just switch them. I plug the black one in, I take the red one back. It's kind of a nice system.
I still can't, and I mentioned this last week, I still can't believe that the Xbox One controllers still take AA batteries. And you have to buy a separate battery pack for that. That is stupid. Especially for the price that they're charging for those controllers.
Yeah, maybe that's something that'll change a little bit with Scorpio. We'll see. I mean, you would hope with the price you're going to pay for that. Yeah, and actually Bobby Blackwell says, I love that they take AA batteries. I love that. I wish more controllers gave that option. I do think a key word there is option. It would be great if a controller could take both, in my opinion.
Well, it can. You just have to buy that battery pack separate, though.
Of course. All right. Anyhow, since no other calls are coming in, I think we're going to take the hint and go ahead and wrap up. I do want to remind everybody, E3 officially starts in 6 days with EA, and it's going to be a fun week of leaks and so forth. There's also, to be fair, Apple's got a big tech thing going. What WWDC is this week, and that could affect mobile gaming, as we hear about inevitably iOS 11 and so forth. So it's going to be a crazy week. At least this year, it doesn't overlap with E3, because that's what usually happens. Is the Apple thing is that that happened 1 year where like Apple's conference was at the exact same time as like Nintendo or something. I don't remember what it was, but it was a mess. So thankfully this year there's a little breathing room between them, but it's going to be a crazy week into the summer. But thank you guys for spending your Sundays here with Orange Lounge Radio, participating in the spirited debate, but never mean debate, because at the end of the day, we all still respect each other's opinions and all that good stuff, and we really appreciate you guys that show up here at Orange Lounge Radio live every week. And if you do enjoy what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two to check out the show over at the VOG Network, VOGnetwork.com, and joining us here live on Sunday nights. Word of mouth goes a real long way. Again, if you can't think of a lot of friends to tell, nice reviews on iTunes or Google Play or wherever it is that you found this show, 5-star reviews go a long way.
Remember, if you can't use your mouth, use your fingers.
I like that. I do like it. If you can't use your mouth, use your fingers. All right. Let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts for the night. Loki, your final thought.
My final thought is, I don't know. I have to maybe get some programming in.
You can do it. Yeah. Dark Soccer, your final thought tonight.
Yawn. I miss ice cream. I miss carbs. I really want more cheese.
They miss you too. And my final thought tonight is I can't believe my birthday is this month and I'm turning older.
Rob?
No, I'm not doom and gloom about it, but it's just one of those like, oh gosh.
I like how I didn't need to say anything. I just needed to say Rob.
Well, it's not what you said. It's how you said it. Because you said it like, girl.
Let me learn you a thing.
Exactly. And I think this is also a very, very, very important thing to put out there, and I want to make sure I do say this. My mom was discharged from the hospital earlier this week after she was in the ICU for 6 days with her condition, and she is, thanks to the miracle of drugs, she's doing a lot better, and there are going to be some changes with her lifestyle. She is 76 years old after all, but I just really want to take a minute to thank everybody for all the kind things that were said on Twitter and social media and in chat and so on and so on. And she has seen some of that too. I showed her Facebook and all that, and she was really, really overwhelmed with all that and really appreciates all that as she is continuing on her path to recovery. So I just want to give a real heartfelt thank you on her behalf and all of you that have been thinking of us. It's really, really, really appreciated. So with that, I think that's a good positive note to end on. So I think we'll end it there, and we're going to end the show for this week. So we'll see you guys next time on Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for being here. We'll see you in 7 days. And for those of you that are going to E3, travel safe and have fun.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.